law, 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied in that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board of Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. We have roll call, please.
Aliva?
Here.
Calvo?
I'm here.
Biassiani?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Doyle?
Here.
And would everyone please rise and salute the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have our minutes from June 1st and June 15th.
I'll make a motion to move the minutes from June 1st and June 15th.
Second. Any corrections?
Sure. From June 1st, page 1. During the roll call, Ms. Weaver was absent, and then down in the correspondence, she seconded the...
Yeah, I
saw that too.
I was absent that day, but
okay.
It says I'm seconded the motion, but I wasn't here.
That's it on the first. On the 15th, page 25, council comments. I also asked if the water company had been notified because they had to turn the pumps on under my comments.
I haven't.
Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah, I have a...
Go ahead.
You're missing the section on vouchers saying that we pay the bills, and I abstained from this. I don't see anywhere in the minutes about the vouchers.
Is that on the 1st or the 15th?
On the 15th.
Okay.
Typically, it's before the week after we do the vouchers, but I went through it like 3 times and I asked it.
Dave, do you have more?
Mm-hmm.
I have two for June 1st, page 8. The vote on the bottom of the page, it says 6 ayes and 2 nays. And there were 4 ayes and 2 nays. That was on the resolution 125-2010. And then page 13, Pleasant Valley Dam resolution. The second line of the title, the E is missing in the second line. No other additions or corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain.
Abstain from June 15th.
Okay. Correspondence?
Move we file correspondence.
Is there?
Second.
Do we have a second?
Yes, I second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I have something.
Go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
Let's
vote on the motion first.
Okay.
Okay. Motion to accept and file?
So moved.
We'll discuss
second.
It.
Second.
Okay.
Regards to the pool, we talked a lot about, a lot of the people have been, that I've met with, I've been to the pool a couple times and talked about refunds, and there's a piece of correspondence in here from Faye Petticari regarding some swim team residents asking about possible refunds. A lot of discussion about the pool. It's addressed on the agenda today. I feel that we as a governing body owe it to those in good faith, the people that in good faith have purchased a season badge, season mat pass, as well as those on the swim team, have lost the service as a result of the delay. So I'd like to make a motion to mail a letter of apology as well as refund 15% of their season pass purchase for resident and non-resident members, as well as a resolution for the next meeting on the 20th, amending the current usage fee ordinance going forward for this season, 2010 only.
I'll second that.
I think it's important.
The rebate that you want to offer, is that from today prior?
It's pretty much anybody that's purchased this year, as well as anybody that purchased going forward. Because as early as today, I was having a discussion with one of the pool operators, and he said that they've just recently gained a couple of more season memberships. So there are people that are still purchasing season passes. Very few. So that being said, I think it's important to not only reimburse the ones that have already purchased in good faith, but the ones who plan on purchasing in good faith. I did some numbers. I ran some numbers, and we have – the numbers are low as far as badges, season passes. But total refund amount for the borough, there's 77 residents out of this documentation, resident and non-residents that have bought season memberships to date. So what that equates to as far as the 15% refund, and again, the borough's hurting for money, but this is a needed thing to do. It's going to cost $2,211.75 in refunds. $2,211.75 in refunds, because we basically lost the 2 weeks of time.
Okay, motion's been seconded.
Does that go for the swim team also? Or
anybody that's purchased. The swim team's obligated to purchase the difference of the whatever we agreed to. So, yeah, it goes to the swim team members as well.
Are we using June 19 as the opening date?
Yeah.
How does the amendment work on the
It looks like you would have to amend the previous resolution setting the 2010 fee schedule.
Each year council has to adopt a resolution selecting the 2010. Christine? Each year council has to approve via resolution the respective recreation fees. So since we already did that on April 20th, you'd be amending that resolution because it still would fall in the min-max range on the ordinance for 2010. And then in 2007, you would set whatever rate you decide to in 2011.
You'd still have to do that even if we had a resolution to just amend for 2010?
Yes. Each year, council has to approve the current year's recreation fee schedule.
And a letter will go out from the manager with the refund to those people.
Any further discussion?
Could you use your mic?
Any further discussion?
On that one?
Yes.
Yes, on that one.
Okay. Can you call the roll, please?
Naomi?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Album?
Yes.
Leila?
Yes.
Megan?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Janine, you had something.
Yeah, just for the block party one, just to make sure that you make the change on the service request number 286 to John Bird, that the date was changed.
Do we have to have another vote on that to approve it?
Yes, just to approve.
Janine, would you like to make a motion to that effect?
Make a motion to change the date on the service request that was already issued to John Bird to change the new date so that he's putting it out when he has to.
That's the Harding Drive.
Yes.
Yeah. Second.
Okay. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
Okay. One abstention. Okay. Let's move on. Audience portion. I'd like to open up the audience portion for any people who have comments or questions for items not on the agenda. And when you come up, please state your name and your address for the record. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Rhonda Considine, and I live at 47A Human Path. And there are a lot of
I can't hear a word. I promise you.
My name is Rhonda Considine, and I live at 47A Humans Ave. And we have a lot of parking issues down there. I know my neighbor was here a few months ago. My neighbors actually have like four vehicles, and they park them with a lot of space, so you can't get another car there. And they do this every day, and they back up when as one comes home, so I usually have no place to park. When I do get a parking spot in front of their house, they block me in. I'm an EMT. I need to get out. I have called the cops. They call the cops on me. One vehicle actually doesn't even run. They push it back and forth to save spots. The three of their vehicles are actually registered in Pennsylvania, even though she does live next door. I don't know what to do about this. Parking permits, maybe. Paint lines on the street. Don't assign, just paint lines. I know someone that'll do it for free. I just don't know what to do anymore. It's a house that's just coming home.
The non-running vehicle, is that registered?
Yes.
It has a current registration?
Mm-hmm, in Pennsylvania. And I had called the cops when they were doing this, and a disabled vehicle should only be on the street 48 hours. And that was Friday. The vehicle's still there. They're still pushing it. And I just don't want to call the police every day. I think they have more important things to do.
Have you let the police department know about the Pennsylvania registered vehicles? And
they know. That they've been investigated for months now.
Okay.
Mr. Connelly, you have any suggestions? Or our student attorney?
This was at 47? Yeomans, you said?
Yes. And Mary was at 49.
That's why it sounds familiar. I was trying to remember what the other address was. Yeah, this has been happening, and the resident, I wasn't in attendance at the meeting, but I listened to the recording. She was here, I think it was in February, if I recall correctly. February.
Yeah, there's a spot about.
And what's happening on this road is exactly what she's saying. You know, a spot in front of a house that can fit two cars, someone's parking in the middle. Right now, since the road is not striped, you cannot, have someone move their car if they're legally parked. There's nothing improper about taking up two spots in one car. It's not being a good neighbor, but you can't cite someone for that, unfortunately. I know at the time it was brought up, based on what I heard on, again, the recording, because I wasn't at that meeting, council pretty much advised the same thing, that right now there's nothing in the budget to stripe that road. You had mentioned, and this is the first time hearing, you said that someone wants to stripe the road?
If you will allow it, I know someone, if you give them the measurements, they'll stripe the road for free.
I mean, if
that's paint and all.
If that's something that council wishes to do, I just have to have the engineer come up with a street lane diagram, street line diagram for the street, and as long as...
Two questions. First question, does it cost us anything to have the engineer do a site plan, for lack of a better term?
Yes.
Okay.
It was review time, however long that takes. Because even if it's a private road, a municipal road, it still has to comply with DOT standards. So there is a cost.
Does the plan have to be submitted as a caveat to that? Does the plan have to be submitted to DOT for approval?
Not to my knowledge, no. Because it is a municipal street. It's not a borough-owned street. The state last year did release some of the municipalities of the tight restrictions that they had, saying you can do certain things as long as it meets DOT standards. I believe this was one of them.
Last question, do we, by doing this for one street, does it make it sort of on the hook for potentially doing it for every street?
You're setting precedent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be very difficult to tell someone else no in the future, correct? I mean, there are some streets that have that now. Not many. I mean, the reality of it is council can take it on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
I mean, the requirements will change from each case.
Could you find out what the police have determined on investigating this?
Well, they won't. I'm not privy to the investigation if there's one that's ongoing. I know there have been many complaints on that road. I know the police have responded quite a few times on that. I've had residents call me, which I would take their information and contact the chief of police. I know he's gone, has his officers go out there and monitor it. A lot of it seems to be, unfortunately, just bad neighbors. I'm not necessarily aware of anything criminal going on, but I know they have been out there quite often.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The one time when Mary actually did call for me parking in front of her house, she got very belligerent with the police and she was arrested that day. And Patrolman Koch, yeah, it was an every other day thing. Patrolman Koch is actually going to write a letter to you guys.
All
right. To come up with something, because it's ridiculous. Mm. You know, I work as a nurse. I come home. I want to be able to relax. Pager goes off. I can't get out of my car. It's ridiculous.
I got a question for our attorney. In our ordinance 85-101, it says proximity to the residence, and it states in here about no further than 200 feet from the residence where they can park. 200 feet from the property line, the front door, what is that referring to?
Tell me where you're looking again.
It's 85-101. And I guess it would be page 8551. Doesn't have anything here about how many cars they can have, or, you know.
Actually, their landlord, which she laughed too, but she did tell me that there's an ordinance that was made, not sure if it's 80 or 90, to two vehicles per household.
Two vehicles per household?
Yeah, and then if you have any more vehicles than that, it's supposed to be parked somewhere else. That was their landlord that told me that. I don't really know.
Okay.
Right. I mean, it sort of depends on what, if there could be something in the code, I don't know. And in this case, this doesn't say, and as you point out, there are different ways to measure proximity from the residence. And I'm not sure how it's been applied, but you'd sort of have to look at that to determine whether perhaps past practice has defined it.
Are overnight parking stickers required?
No, not on Humans Avenue.
Oh, yes, sir.
I live on Union Ave. I need to have an overnight parking permit.
I don't.
Do you live in the first block or the block on the other side of 31?
I live on the other side.
Okay, I live on McCormick side.
Okay.
And I was told when I moved in 3 years ago that I was only allowed to have two cars.
I'm not aware of any ordinance that regulates how many cars you can possibly have.
When I went to get my permit, that's what I was told.
Okay.
Yeah, me neither. Well, I mean, was the opinion of the zoning officer?
I've reviewed all the applications that came in, and you're right, I'm not aware of any ordinance either that says no more cars.
So you're going to check the opinion. The person that would do the striping, are they a professional that would come in and do this for you at Grand?
They actually, yeah, they work at Supreme Metro, 1-800 Blacktop.
Okay, and they have insurance, so they're covered in case someone gets injured, something like that?
I'm sure.
Okay. If you could contact the manager about that information,
okay.
We could put it on the agenda for the next meeting to discuss it.
I guess the question becomes, one, does council want to consider this in greater detail? Two, do they want to expend funds through the engineer to come up with a line striping design?
Well, I'd feel more comfortable getting some kind of response back from the police department if they have some
solution,
recommendations, because, you know, there's always three sides to every story. I'd like to hear theirs before we start spending money.
Thank you. That was my point.
Yeah, how much is this going to cost?
I mean, even if you make it permit parking.
Is that a streets committee issue?
Well, part of Yeomans Avenue, part of Yeomans Avenue is exempt from permit. I wasn't here. I mean, how long ago was that ordinance created? Does anyone know off the top of their head? At some point there was a rationale behind not requiring permits on the street. What that rationale is, I don't know. I mean, if you're going to consider amending the ordinance to require permit parking, I would agree with that statement. You may want to just have the streets committee review and comment on it accordingly. But, I mean, we can do some of the we can do some legwork without expending any funds just to see the cost associated with should we move forward.
I prefer both.
Yeah. If somebody doesn't have the property to put a driveway in, they're required to have a permit other places, correct?
Yeah.
But they have to come prove that they can't put a driveway in. So wouldn't that hold true on that side too?
One more time.
Honestly, it's the first time I've
heard
about
Yeoman. We always get parking complaints. 99 out of 100 of them are referred to the police department for enforcement. Whether it be non-parking or if you're parking on someone else's property, that's, you know. This street has, over the last 6 months, come up and die down, come up and die down. Depends on what's going on. I would imagine in the summer months where people are out more, it's probably intensifying.
Let's do this. Let's take a three-prong approach. Let's refer to the street committee, have them review why the ordinance was adopted for not having on-street permits, overnight permits. The manager will check with the police department to see what's going on and also check with the engineer of what it would cost to do a striping survey.
And also look if there's an ordinance that states you can only have number 2 vehicles and receive.
I mean, I can look, but I'm not aware of any. No problem.
Thank you, Janine.
And actually, the chief was investigating the whole thing.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you could email me the information of the person you said was interested in volunteering or having to call me, at least I can get the information for that as well.
Any other public comments? Mr. Kresser.
Joe Kresser, and Jim Carl Banner. Thanks for getting back to me on the question I had as far as the performance bond.
Well.
And it's a $600 fee for every day that they're late. Now, how is that normally done? You just take that off the final bill?
No. One, believe it or not, in New Jersey, one actually has nothing to do with the other. If liquidated damages are owed to any municipality in a construction contract, that does not alleviate the municipality for paying the contractor in full. For the amount of that contract, you have to pay the contractor in full, and then you have to negotiate and/or litigate the damages. In New Jersey, the local public contracts law sides the contractor, not the municipality.
Okay.
So it's not like if they owe us 10 grand and they submit their final payment, we can just withhold that. By law, I cannot withhold payments to them for work.
Okay. So at this point, I mean, I don't have my stuff with me because it was just a race to get here. It was somewhere around $260,000, I believe.
$206,000.
And as council people, I hope that everybody's on this because this is money that we desperately need. So what have you really gone after with our attorney as far as getting this money?
We've reached out to the bonding company. We're trying to keep a dialogue to them. But historically, and I shouldn't say historically, traditionally, this does not get aired out to the completion of the project.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
What avenue are we going on this? Our attorney, obviously you're aware of this, and
well,
what avenue do they have going?
Dick Cushing is aware of it. Council has authorized us to move forward completing a project and negotiate, and if we need to, litigate at the time.
So what do you feel those negotiations are going to be? What's our chances of getting this money? Obviously it's in our contract.
We're going to get something whether or not we're going to get everything, I can't say.
This is
referring to the DPW garage project.
Right. The rain staple. I
have not looked at the contract to be able to give you an opinion, but, I mean, basically, yes, what happens is that you get to the end and then there's the, you know, negotiations and or disagreements about what they owe us and what they claim we might owe them and how that works out. And it's hard, even if I had looked at it, to speculate on how that would go.
Well, my biggest concern is this project has been an ongoing pain in the butt.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful that you've been underneath the gun on this and really looking. I mean, not that I would be very upset if we didn't have a game plan on this situation.
Is
If I may, and I know Lorraine wasn't involved in this, I was dealing with one of the other attorneys. We have extensive paper trail on everything, every action we've taken, every inaction from the prior contract. Our record is solid. I can definitely state unequivocally that, our record is fair. Whether or not a judge will see that, don't know. We are keeping track of it. Every time there's a correspondence or a payment request to them, we update them with it. In fact, as recently as 2 weeks ago, I sent them a letter inviting them out here so we can begin negotiations. I haven't heard back. My guess is between the holiday week, people taking off, that kind of thing. I can tell you right now that I am in contact with the bonding company, encouraging them to come out here, sit, and start the negotiations. But, unfortunately, in New Jersey, bonding companies don't care. I would not be surprised if they ignore us till the very end. But we are doing what we are supposed to do in accordance with the contract.
How is this affecting our payment as far as our bond on that?
The bond that borrowed the money to pay? I mean, one has really nothing to do with the other. And what I mean by that is the governing body said, okay, we need to borrow X dollars to pay for this garage. That money's been borrowed. That debt is already incorporated in our debt because we've had to expend money associated with
it. Right, but what I'm kind of asking, Rich, is this because of our due date was April last year, correct? That was our completion date. So is this going to extend our loan and cost us town taxpayers more money?
No. One has nothing to do with the other. I see where you're going, but the bottom line is when council borrowed the money in 2008, they borrowed the money in 2008, the amortization schedule was created then. They could have spent it all in one day or 20 years.
Okay, so it doesn't affect our interest or anything else or the longevity of the loan?
No, the interest rates and the amortization schedule for that bond was established in 2008 by the lender.
Okay. And so when are you, how far are we on the project? Are we almost complete? Or?
We're getting there. The trusses came in last week for the salt shed. I was out there last week. Plumbing inspection passed. The sheetrock inspection passed. Rough electric has passed. J.C. Pinnell ran the transformers out. Concrete curbing is supposed to be poured this week, weather permitting. I mean, it's definitely progressing in accordance with the revised time schedule that they gave us.
So you feel confident that you will reach the due date?
Yes. End of August, beginning of September, barring any unforeseen incident that we don't know about. They're a few days behind because I keep track of what the approved timeline is versus what they're doing. Things happen.
Not to pick you apart, how many is a few days?
About six.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, it was about six. There was a delay in one of the biggest problems we had here is the prior contractor didn't keep any records. It was all in his head. So we had to recreate a lot of these records and as-built diagrams for the contract.
That's from the borough?
I'm sorry?
Is he from the borough?
Is the contract? No.
not
that I'm aware.
No, that was good.
But that's where we are.
Okay.
That way, it's progressing well. I was out there last week, and, it's...
Well, thank you for your
like
quick response.
Yeah, you're very well.
Thank you, Mr. Presser. Anyone else? Yes, Ms. Quelly.
My name is Jules Quelly, and I live at 4 Cleveland Street. You may ask me to sit down because I have some comments to make about the borough pool, which I see nailed on old business.
Right. We will cover the discussion on the borough pool under new business.
Old business.
So can I make my comments now?
I'll give you an opportunity after our council discussion on that topic.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Mrs. Sloan.
Susan Sloan, 89 Grand Avenue. This does not have to do with parking or anything. It's quite esoteric, but I have sat through exhaustive discussions and rather inane, petty bickering in this chamber. Now I have two yes or no questions. Number one, is the borough of Washington any closer having the funds to pay off our massive debt?
We are paying off our debt with
our... Is this a yes or no?
Yes.
You have confidence in that?
Yes.
Can
maybe the manager wants to add anything?
As part of our debt schedule this year, we allocated $850,000 towards reducing the debt. every year we have to pay it off, a portion.
And we're doing that?
Yes, absolutely. It didn't introduce...
You're sure?
I'm positive. Or I saw the checks go out. Absolutely. We have no choice. We have to pay for our debt.
Yeah, I know.
And it's part of the 2010 introduced budget. And I think, if I recall correctly, there's even one on tonight's bill list.
Yeah, there is. $275,000
Yeah. There's one on tonight's bill list.
So we don't have to worry about shutting down or declaring bankruptcy?
In New Jersey, believe it or not, municipalities can't declare bankruptcy by law.
What about Asbury Park in 1932?
Oh, a lot has changed since 1932. Okay. I mean,
have our employee pensions been honored?
Of course. We've never missed a pension payment. I mean, whether or not the state makes their contributions is another story. But
I'm
we've
not
never,
asking about the state.
Never,
I'm asking about this governing body.
We have never missed a pension payment here.
Okay. Is there any chance of doing that?
Missing a pension payment?
The rumor is that they haven't been covered.
Don't listen to rumors. I'll show you a canceled check. We have never missed a pension payment here.
Okay. Thank you.
Everything is up to date.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Mrs. Slim.
My name is Rebecca Pobianco. I live on 30 South Pickle Avenue in Washington. I lived there for the last 58 years, and I live alone. I was wondering why in the world I'm paying $52 a month for sewage, when next door to me they got six people, and they pay $52.
Mr. Higgins, you're head of the sewer committee. Would you
yes.
like to answer that?
Yes, I am. Way back when they started the sewer plant in 1999, there was a schedule that said that they needed to increase the sewer fees. Unfortunately, that wasn't done until 2006, and then last year, to offset the cost, the auditor had taken $300,000 out of surplus so that we could balance that budget. To replace that and continue on, we had to raise the sewer rates to $52.
No, but I'm not worried about $52. I'm worried that I'm alone, and I'll count six people next to me pay the same amount of money.
When we started the sewer plant, the way that it was decided to go, that we would go with EDUs, equivalent dwelling units,
uh-huh.
that way that we would know that we would have our operations costs and that we would have our construction costs. Now, in a perfect world, when the sewer plant is paid for, your bill should be reduced.
Yeah, it should go to according to water consumption.
No.
I feel that way because I don't use as much water as they use it next door.
We understand that, but
right.
we back in 1998 and 99 when they established the sewer plant, this was the most fair and economic way to do it.
Well, according to your idea, not mine. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
Good evening. Evelyn Martin, 20 Madison Avenue. I'm here today because of last council meeting, in which I have just a couple questions for the attorney. Is it a conflict of interest when a current council member is on council and all that is allowed to him on council, and then is in the process of developing a 501c3, I'm speaking about you, Victor, to create the funding source for one of the city's operations.
If I may, just
yes,
Lorraine
please.
Wasn't here to the other conversations.
Okay. I'll
just give her a little. There's a group of residents that's creating a nonprofit entity, a Friends of Recreation, if you will.
Okay.
So that's what she's referring to. I just wanted to
okay.
make sure she was aware.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure I follow your question. So there's going to be a nonprofit, and
well, it's Victor Cioni. He's a council member,
right.
And he's also working on a nonprofit organization that's going to support some of the operations that the city or the borough is responsible for. And I'm just wondering, as it stands, does it create a conflict of interest for him to do that?
Well, I don't see anything that would, from what you've described,
okay,
but if you
good.
Wanted a more particular opinion, I'd really have to look at exactly what's going on.
Okay, because that was a discussion that we had after the meeting, regarding that. Is that a conflict of interest? Second of all, something that you said last meeting to me was that you're working on the grant. And in that same meeting, there was a discussion that three grants were found by a phone call. In your job, two grants, and the total of the two grants were?
Just under $50,000.
Just 50?
Yeah.
So it was broken down how?
32.5 and 19, I believe it was. Or is it 19.5 and 32?
Okay. And there was no one that left behind a data or a record to say to you, these are the things that are outstanding.
No, one was from, I think it was 07, and one was from 08.
So it's just kind of been floating out there for almost 3 years. Okay. But now, Janine, you said that you're working on a grant. Is that something that you choose to do, or was that something that was given to you to do?
I chose to do it.
Okay. Because isn't that your responsibility?
I work with the grant committee as well. And any time a grant is applied for, we now keep track of everything. I can't speak to what was done 3 years ago.
No, but you should know what happened
Absolutely.
3 years ago.
I mean, any time there's a grant involved, Councilwoman Gleba contacts me all the time with specifics of it.
Because what happens is, if she's working on the grant and the other council members may not be privy to all the process or to the information, and a lot of times it's important for the rest of the council to know as much as the person who's doing that, because you have to work as a unit, as a one body.
The way the process works for the grants committee, any committee, subcommittee of the governing body, is the legwork is done by the two or three council members, sometimes in conjunction with my office, sometimes not, depending on the issue. And at every council meeting, you'll see there's a section called committee reports.
Yes.
That's when this respective chair of that group updates council on any of the issues associated with.
Now, the other part of that, thank you. The other part of that is this. A lot of times, the information that we're looking for in the library, the hours may not be appropriate or the day the library may be closed. So I'm asking council to create a space somewhere here in Borough Hall that we can come, a table, a chair, to sit down and look at the documents, because it seems to be inconvenient on the days that the library is open late or you know, or not open at all. We want to be able to have access to the charter directly from here. So if that's possible, you know, that we can have access to do that, so that it could be available to us in here at the Borough Hall, a place to sit down, read it, you know, make the copies, charge for the copies, you know.
We have residents come in quite often, and they'll take their information and they sit in our conference room.
Okay,
right.
Well,
now,
then that's good to know, because
I mean, obviously, if there's a meeting there, we find another location.
Okay,
for
them, so the conference room is the place in which you have allocated if there's no other activity going
correct.
There. Okay, and then is it you, Rich, who gives the information, or is it your secretary?
Depends on what it is. If you're submitting, say, an OPA request, and you're setting a date and time to review a certain document,
right.
that will go through the borough clerk.
Okay, now we know that everything is available except personnel matters, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, very few things.
Medical and personnel.
There's personnel. There's what's considered advisory, consultative, deliberative. There's litigation.
Okay.
I mean, there's a few more than just personnel that aren't privy.
Is that listed somewhere? What information cannot be made available?
Sure, Christine. That's listed on the open public meetings.
It's not.
No. I mean, on the state's website. The state has what the
yes, the statute itself. I mean, we
for
can.
For Oprah.
Yes.
Yes, I saw that.
Those
but
exemptions.
Yeah.
Those
okay.
are the same exemptions that
okay.
aren't.
Okay.
We mirror them.
Good, because we're in the process of reviewing and going chapter by chapter of the charter. Mm-hmm. So from this point on, we're going to be sharing some things or questions that we might have directly relating to the charter. And I think that what we're finding is that maybe at some point in time, there should be a volunteer body to do a charter review, because there's a lot of things in there that may need to be looked at, updated, you know, reviewed at least. Okay?
If you decide to come in the next week or two, let us know, because we are going under our annual audit, and they are using a conference room all day.
Oh, good.
So if you decide to come in, let us know. We'll find another spot.
Okay. Very good. That's all I had tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
Move and close the audience portion.
There's a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Let's move on. Business Improvement District Budget Public Hearing and Adoption. I'd like to open up the public hearing on the Business Improvement District Budget, Resolution 144-2010. Anyone having anything to say about it, please step forward and give your name and address for the record.
Evelyn Morrison, 20 Madison Avenue. The bid organization, I didn't get a chance to see how it's structured, but I understand it's an independent organization, correct?
It's a quasi-independent organization.
Okay.
The ordinance that established it, I don't recall the number. They are an entity formed by ordinance by the governing body.
Okay.
In essence, they're... Business Improvement District is what's called a Special Improvement District,
okay,
based on the statute.
Okay. Now, Rich, is there an allocation to bid?
I'm not sure.
Is there any money from the borough going to bid?
From the borough?
Mm-hmm.
Like the borough coffers itself?
Yes.
No. The
okay.
Special Improvement District, if you're a business located within a Special Improvement District, there's a Special Improvement tax on your tax bills.
Okay.
That's what,
mm-hmm,
in part, funds it.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was say they have other sources of funding.
Okay,
this
they can have private funding.
Correct.
Okay.
They are considered a nonprofit.
I think it's Ordinance 7-2003.
7-2003?
Okay.
Okay.
Is it?
Let me just point out the first 2 years that the borough did fund part of the bids budget in order to get them started. So if you're looking at past documents, you may be looking at that.
Okay, because that's just what I saw. And I didn't know that was continuing as an annual thing, but you're saying after those first 2 years, then there was no more allocation.
Yeah, I believe it was the first 2 years.
Okay.
No?
No. We started taxing before they actually elected their board of directors.
Oh, you started collecting
so
money
prior?
So
we were collecting prior to, yeah.
Okay.
So when they started, we turned over their taxes.
But we actually took money out of our budget. We budgeted money for the bid. I believe it was around $44,000.
Maybe for attorney fees? Or
startup costs? I believe it was. We'll have to look at the minutes.
Okay. Now, let me ask a question. Does that then take the place of, like, not community development per se, but a development piece for the downtown and business? Would they have the initiative and the resources to do downtown improvement?
If you look at the ordinance, it's actually very detailed. It says what they can and can't do,
okay,
what they
I
have the
do
authority
that.
To do and can't do.
Okay.
It is pretty detailed ordinance.
Okay, I'll read that and then I'll have more information. And so the budget that you're reviewing, is their organization submits that to the borough for review?
Correct. Each year, per the ordinance, the Business Improvement District comes up with a breakdown of their upcoming year's budget.
Okay.
X dollars needs to be raised via the Special Improvement District tax.
Okay.
But they break down their total budget. Their total budget is more than the tax.
Of course.
So.
And if I have any questions, Rich, then I'll ask you.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
I have a question.
Can we close the audience portion, please?
Can we close the public?
We have a motion to close the public.
I'll make
portion.
A motion to close the public.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
I
thought we voted on this.
We did.
You still do.
You just had the public portion and then you have to.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I'll be okay. Okay.
So
John, you have a question.
The bid budget, can we do this without anybody from the bid being present?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yep. Okay, is there a motion on Resolution 144-2010?
Make a motion to approve Resolution 144-2010.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion from council? Mr. Boyle.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. On the first page of this resolution, number 3, third line down, I just have concerns about the verbiage where it says, quote, properties located within the borough of Washington. You know, that still suggests that it's a residential, you know.
The the second half of that sentence, it properties says, set forth in the Borough of Washington as set forth in Ordinance 703.
Well, that's true. And
703 identifies.
Trying to skim through 703 now, and but I mean, still, when you look at it that quick, it just really just sets that it's with the.
See, the only way to change that is if you amend the ordinance.
Well,
I mean, so what are you looking for? Language that says businesses.
Well, not so much that, but we just said that they are zoned, correct? So wouldn't it be like we did the redevelopment, like B1, B2, the zoning of businesses in that? Or do we have businesses that are outside the district that are charged?
It's any commercial property.
I mean, there are properties outside the downtown business district that are affected with this ordinance. That's why it refers to the ordinance.
Okay, that one always just gets on me there. I don't know if it's that. To me, it is important to have it maybe more clearly defined.
Thank you for your input.
I wasn't here when the bid was formed. This was a resolution that's been used since 2003 as far as the language. I'd have to actually consult the ordinance to see if there's specific requirements on the adopting budget. I don't believe there is. So I guess if your question, if you want, we can refer to the specific section in the ordinance that dictates it. But the bottom line is the ordinance is the guiding document. This is just memorializing council's actions in accordance with that ordinance. I mean,
seeing how much explanation we got to go through with maybe some of the verbiage that might be clearly defined.
If I remember, the ordinance that created this was pretty much taken from a statewide ordinance and reviewed by the attorneys that helped create this. And it was very specific on and what had to be in the ordinance.
Yeah, the ordinance actually, if I'm looking at 74-3, quotes district. It doesn't go into anything saying businesses or anything of that nature. It just says district. We just need to take a look at this.
Under what definitions?
Creation of the district, and it defines
what it
is.
Special improvement district, right.
Correct. But you're right. It does reference the New Jersey State
statute,
which, you know, can be vague. So if we, you know, that's my input on that. Getting into the proposed budget, line item under administration operation, it's $40,700. Do we know, are there attorney fees into that? Is that where that would go? Because in this whole budget, you don't see anything that references attorneys.
I think that would be under a consultant when they hire a redevelopment or something like that. But I don't know. It's a line item in an Excel document, so it doesn't
really.
Actually, all we're doing is giving them the $270,000. We're collecting the $277,000 for them and passing that on to them.
No, I understand that. I just, you know, was kind of interested in what's behind what they're trying to budget for.
Earlier this year, when the bid provided us with their 2009 annual report and 2010 budget, there was a more detailed breakdown in the spreadsheet, you see. At the top of my head, I don't recall what that breakdown was. And in all reality, they're requesting a dollar amount. How they spend it is up to them.
I wasn't challenging their spend. I just was just curious because I didn't see the word attorney fees or anything like that. And that's usually like, you know, pretty important.
Any other discussion? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Valentine?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, on to Ordinance 8, 2010. I'd like to open the public hearing for Ordinance 8, 2010, having to do with the on-street parking for handicapped individuals.
So moved.
Anyone? Okay. Thank you. Pat? Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. I'd like to open the public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak to this, please come to the microphone.
Do we have a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to close the public for Ordinance 8, 2010.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion by council?
I'll move Ordinance 8, 2010 for final adoption and have the clerk read by title.
Second.
Christine? Roll call, please.
Okay.
Yes.
Boyle.
Yes.
Lima.
Yes.
Valentine.
Yes.
Haley.
Yes.
Calvin.
Yes.
Ordinance 8, 2010, an ordinance to amend Chapter 85-81 of the Code of the Borough of Washington on street parking for handicapped.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion for adoption, correct, Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Boyle? Any discussion? We have a roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Calhoun?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Leone?
Yes.
Lynch?
Yes.
Reports.
I move we file reports.
Second.
Discussion?
I have a point, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
Rich, you said on May 17th you made a request to the fire department chief for supply several items required in their lease with the borough, financial documentation. To date, this has not been received. Do you have any updates for us?
Which report? I'm sorry, are you looking at?
May 17th, the manager's redacted version.
Oh, June 11th.
No,
the June 11th report. I see. I said
Oh, yes.
Okay, June 11th report. That's correct. No, I have no response. I have sent three correspondence to them and one phone call with the chief. I have not received anything yet after I've asked.
Can you have the chief show up at the next meeting and explain why the information has not been provided?
That's what council would like?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, in all fairness and openness.
Hopefully by then we will have the information requested.
Yeah, even if we do, I'd still like to see why it took so long.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor to accept the reports?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain. Opposed the reports, you mean?
Yes, accepting the reports.
Oh.
No, that wasn't a motion. That was a request of the manager. Okay. Committee reports.
Janine, do you want to talk about anything for grants? Or? Nothing special. Just website committee. We've been trying to keep on top of the situation with the pool, getting all the information out. We've done some email blasts to the people that have registered for the website updates. The last email blast we did hit 204 registered people, so it's always important to register for email updates. That's pretty much it on the website side. The pocket park, I think we're going to discuss that later. Finance, nothing.
Okay, any other?
Yes, thank you, Deputy Mayor. Going with the streets committee, I was looking through my calendar, and I would like to hold a meeting on September 13th at 7:30. Hopefully that's enough time for people to get involved, because we definitely want to discuss the winter of 2010-2011. And then with what was spoken to tonight, if you can keep me updated what was going with that, I'll try my best to find out what we can do. Shared services, I went to the Belvedere meeting yesterday. I was the only one that showed up. They were closed for the holiday. They don't have a website, so, you know, you thought I would have called ahead, but I didn't. But we did get in contact with Hampton, and Hampton's crunching the numbers, and of course, they sound very exciting. We're going to be able to go forward. Unfortunately, there was words and not numbers, but at least we know that Hampton has contacted him. I did get the manager involved with this also, because some of those numbers I wouldn't have, and so that's going forward with that. Thank you, Deputy.
have a few things for the grant committee. We had submitted a letter of interest to the William Penn Foundation in the hopes of possibly going forward and submitting a grant application to receive funds for the dam project. And unfortunately, we're not going to be going any further. We received a denial letter, and I'll even read some of it to you for those interested. We appreciate the work you do and your commitment to those you serve. Unfortunately, we cannot invite a full proposal from your organization because your proposal does not align within the foundation's current funding priorities and approach. And they consider many factors, and basically they receive, even though that proposals that fit within its guidelines are also turned down because they receive obviously more requests than they can possibly fund. And when we submitted the letter, we knew it was a long shot because they basically service projects in Pennsylvania and for the Delaware River and another large river in Pennsylvania. And we were just hoping that our little creek, since it eventually does get into the Delaware River, that maybe they would help us. So we weren't surprised that it didn't come through for us. But we're going to keep looking, particularly later in the year for an American River grant who specifically has grants for dam projects. So unfortunately, I didn't know about the project till 2010, so we missed the last December deadline. Also, we're interested in applying for a grant through the Gannett Foundation, and that's due August 16th. And because of the recreation director leaving, Rich, I'm going to have to work with you on that particular grant. We're waiting to hear from the Home Depot. I believe Victor was the one that submitted that information, and we haven't heard anything yet back from them.
At the end of August, they just let you know if you got it or not. There's no real formal.
Right. And then at our last grant meeting at the end of June, we basically, in addition to continually researching grants, we walked away with two action items. And I'm drafting a letter for the manager to send out to each department, requesting a point of contact to help us with the applications because, we're not grant writers and we're not, knee-deep in whatever is going on within each department. So we really need the assistance. At this point, since we formed this committee, no department has come to us with a grant or anything like that. So now I need to go the other way and just request that we have a point of contact when there really is a grant that we're eligible for that possibly will help them. In addition to that, we've realized with all of us, researching these different grants that are out there, that we need to really understand what each department or commission or what have you, what their needs are or what potential projects they have going forward in the future, especially like for 2011, that if we know, that the recreation department, has a need for, to repave the basketball court. If we know about that now, we can really keep our eye out. And that leads me to the next thing where we're working on a spreadsheet, to be used internally within the committee on different grants, what they do, how much it's for, is there a match requirement, are we eligible, and so that we almost have like a, our own resource, because right now we all just have papers and information. So we're working on those two things, and that's it for the grant committee.
Anything on sewer committee other than what you've stated so?
No.
Any other committee reports? As stated earlier, the manager said we are on track with the DPW garage. We did have a senior services committee meeting on June 23rd. No one from the community attended. And August 25th will be our next meeting at 6:30 at night downstairs in the conference room, if anyone is interested. Excuse me?
What was the date? I'm sorry.
August 25th. Hearing no other committee reports, let's move on to old business. The 2010 budget discussion transitional aid.
On June 23rd, the Department of Community Affairs released Local Finance Notice 14, which in essence dictates the policies and procedures that municipalities must follow if they're interested in applying for any additional state aid. This application is more cumbersome than it's in the past. They require a lot more information, and they have a lot more restrictions on who can and can't apply, as well as who can and can't get anything. I guess theoretically anyone can apply. They do have a lot more requirements as what you can and can't have in your current introduced budget before you can submit a completed application. Completed applications are due the 16th. They're due next Friday. Myself and the CFO worked a couple nights last week, as well as on Friday, to come up with some preliminary numbers, some preliminary verbiage to go in there. I need to find out from council, when I sent this to you guys, I believe it was on the 24th, if anyone has any questions on this, and if anyone is going to make any changes to the budget prior to us applying.
I have a few quick questions.
Sure.
What you sent us here, you know, what we've taken out of the budget so far?
Sure, let me just get it in front of me.
That's in your transitional aid, or in your...
That's in my report, right?
Yeah. The redacted one.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Shows a total of $37,425 based on what it was that the council discussed.
Correct.
Okay. I have a few questions here. Now, since we brought the sewer billing into in-house, that's a savings, correct?
It's a savings. It's not a cut, but yes.
Okay. How much of a savings?
Just under $5,000 a month.
Okay. So it would show a reduction in the what we were paying Veolia to do that.
On the sewer utility side,
so
not
that
the current
show a cut.
Time.
Okay. Right. That would show a cut, though.
I'm sorry. I couldn't.
That would show a cut of.
Well, again, it's not showing
$35,000.
It's not showing a cut. It's just showing a reduction in expenditures. We're not cutting.
Okay, but on the budget, though, it'll be reduced by $35,000. $30,000 at $5,000 a month, 6 months.
$5,000 a month for 6 months, less the startup costs for
$20,000.
Is about $22,000, correct? So there will be a reduction in the expenditures on the sewer side, correct?
Okay, I went over the budget document that was presented to us. I have on page 15A. It talks about buildings and grounds. Maybe I have to tell you.
15A?
Yeah, 15A. Well, mine is probably different than yours. 15A, buildings and grounds of $28,000. Building other expenses, what is that for?
Primarily building maintenance supplies, maintenance agreements that we have. We do basic things in-house. A lot of things we have annual contract and service agreements for, in addition to just the general operations of municipal buildings.
So our contract, I mean, we pay for contracts out of that?
When you say you pay for contracts.
Well, I thought you...
No, I mean, like, we contract out, you know, different building maintenance issues that we can't handle in-house, correct? You know, we have an HVAC service agreement, as an example.
I understand that. We might need to take a look at that. All right.
Does the elevator come out of that?
Yeah.
Anything within the building comes out of that.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, the other expenses also account for repair work throughout the year, too.
Grass cutting at the library?
Well, the library's a little bit different. The library has their own accounts for that.
Okay.
Public defender. We're budgeting $6,000 this year, and we only spent $4,000 last year. Is there...
Correct. There was an increase in the amount of residents that needed public defender service.
For this year?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So are we at $6,000?
No, we haven't spent $6,000 yet, but we're going to hit it. Based on the number of people we use. I think there's 800 on tonight's bill list alone.
Okay. On page 17, the street lighting went up $13,000.
Mm-hmm. New parking lot downtown, new lights, about $900 a month.
Okay. Page 19, the PERS.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was 66, this year is 131.
Correct.
We're not going to defer it again?
We don't have an option this year. State won't allow us to.
Okay, and that last year was because of the deferment, the $66,000.
I'm sorry, was it because of what?
The deferment.
Oh, deferment, yeah. Last year, the state made us if we wanted to apply for that extraordinary aid. We didn't have a choice last year.
Okay. On page 19, the unemployment insurance has gone up, and we have, what do we have? We have 15, 16, 17 less employees than we did last year.
17 less employees?
Don't we? We're not paying for the police department.
Correct, but the unemployment contributions have gone up. The state dictates how much it costs for unemployment. They've all gone up. You can have less people with more costs. That's a cost that's outside of our control.
Maybe we should apply for that transitional aid. You should tell them about that. Okay, now, on page 22, the Shared Police Services Agreement. That's 2.1 million, I think.
It's 2.079. We're going to reduce it by
2.1. Does that include the crossing guards?
Yes. No,
it
absolutely.
This budget document was prepared before and we ended that agreement last meeting.
That's correct. We still had to pay for them on the assumption that we always had to pay for the crossing guards. This wasn't something new. The question is how much were we paying?
Right.
In January, when in August of 2009, when the agreement went into effect, we were splitting the cost with the township. When council decided to amend that agreement, we're now putting 100% of it.
Okay, so what is this? Does this say 50%?
That number was based on 100%. Absolutely, I got numbers from the township for part of the introduced budget. You always budget the worst case scenario in the introduced budget. You can always reduce it. You don't want to increase it. That number was based on numbers that this was going to go forward and we were going to pay 100%.
Where did the small cities grant go?
It's a pass-through grant for the ARC.
Oh, okay.
We get nothing. We just filter the money from the state to the ARC.
Okay. On page 26, the capital improvement fund is $75,000.
Correct.
That can be reduced by half.
It can be reduced by whole if you choose.
That's a penny. I mean, at least half.
That's the whole point of tonight's meeting on this.
All we would have to do is provide a 5% match on any loan we wanted to take. I don't think we want to take any
loans
right now.
This would be for capital projects or capital expenditures to be paid with cash versus bonding. That's correct. So theoretically, you can cut it in half. You can make it zero, whatever you choose. I need to know what, if any, changes are going to be made to the introduced budget. So when I speak with the acting director tomorrow, I can look at him in the face and say my governing body's made changes. I have to be in Trenton at 10 a.m.
Can I have
the
microphone?
Oh, sure.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Just on that particular item, though, I was wondering...
You're talking capital improvement?
Right, okay. Just so that everyone knows, it's $75,000 that was introduced. $26,000 is going to Pleasant Valley Dam project, but that should be lowered.
No. The money going to the Pleasant Valley Dam project was capital money raised in 2009.
Right, so
but that's, if you reduce this 75 to zero, that doesn't stop that project.
No, I know. Right. I'm just saying, according to the breakout on the document that we received on sheet 40B, 26,000 of that 75,000 is going towards the Pleasant Valley Dam.
Correct, from the capital improvement fund.
Right.
Not the capital improvement fund is in. I'm sorry.
Not from the 75,000.
No. Capital improvement fund. You're allowed to raise money each year to put into the capital improvement fund. It's not like the 2010 capital versus the 2009 capital. It's one fund.
This is
an allocation on how much you want to spend out of that fund or put into that fund. The money's being spent. I'm sorry, you said 42A?
Okay, wait. All right, so let me just, I'm sorry for interrupting you. Yeah. All right, let me get this straight. Sheet 26 shows the capital improvement fund for 2000. $75,000.
Correct.
Is sheet 40B a breakout of that $75,000?
Well, 40B, you said?
Mm-hmm.
No. Not at all. What it is 40B, by law, we have to state in our budget document to the state, this is what we're considering doing in 2010. 40B is non-binding. We could do nothing on here. This is just a wish list of capital projects for 2010. It's not authorized.
Are you just saying it's just coincidental both numbers equal $75,000?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fine. All along, I thought was showing a breakout of that $75,000. So we can definitely...
You can reduce it from anything from $75,000 down to zero, council's choice.
Now, my other question, only because you happen to be talking about this, we, in the introduced budget, right, maybe I'm looking at it wrong, the $75,000 on
mm-hmm.
sheet 26,
mm-hmm.
on the year-to-date report that we just got for...
The other one on the website?
On the website.
Right.
For capital improvement, it says we adopted $90,000, but that was the 2009 amount.
Remember, capital funds don't reset to zero each year. When you put money into a capital fund, make it easy. Say 2006, we don't have any money in capital. You start deciding to raise money in 2006. All right? That fund is like it's a trust fund, if you will.
The money stays there, and you can raise money to put into that account from year to year. Since capital funds don't reset to zero at each year, what you're looking at is the balance in that account from prior years. $26,000 comes out of the capital improvement fund. Don't think of the capital improvement fund as 2009 capital improvement fund, 2010. It's one fund.
One fund.
This is how much you'd like to put in it this year.
And so then sheet 26 of this introduced budget, you were looking to put another $75,000 into that fund?
That's correct.
All right, I got it.
That's correct.
Thank you. All right.
Dave, if I may?
Yes.
One of the problems is if we reduce that fund contribution this year to zero, if something breaks major in within our building, we will not have money to fix it. It would have to come out of next year's budget.
I understand that, Deputy Mayor, but we pay a 5%. We pay 5%
for down payment.
For a down payment on a bond. On so look at $1 million, you need $50,000. So my recommendation is that we take that down as low as we can. 37.5 would be one penny.
Right. This is the. Hold on. I got the actual.
I think it is.
Hold on. It's in my pile here. Hold on.
I'm not done yet.
37.425.36.
So if we cut that at least in half, do I need to make that a motion now?
Sure.
All right. I'll make that motion to reduce the capital improvement fund by half, 50% to 37.5.
There's a second.
I'll second that.
Okay. Further discussion on that motion?
You may want to take a vote. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can we have a roll call, please?
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Alvo?
Yes.
Kaliba?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Theo?
Yes.
And just to confirm, cut by half.
Yeah,
got it. Percent.
Also, though, on page 27, the interest on the tax anticipation notes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 20. I just wanted to write that down. 27, you said?
Page 27, yeah. $60,000.
Correct.
I thought that came in at $39,000.
Correct, for the TAN we took out this year, which we pay next year. The 2009 TAN, that was the amount that we had to pay in 2010. In 2010, when we pay back the one we, in 2011, when we pay back the one we took out this year, the 2011 budget will account for that interest because you pay it in that current year's budget when you actually make the repayment. The numbers you see here before you are the numbers associated with the previous TAN from 2009.
Well, all right, so for 2009 then, it says 17.4.
I'm sorry, where are you looking at?
Page 27. Interest on tax.
Correct. In 2009, we spent 17.4 because that was the interest amount on the TAN you took out in 2008. It's a year after. It's the year you pay the loan back that you pay the interest and the loan.
Holy cow. I thought that was $52,000.
I had no idea what it was before I got here.
No, I thought that came out to $52,000, not $60,000.
It was like 59.8, I believe it was, or 59.6 was the 2009 interest amount.
Wow. Okay. Now, with the application, the transition aid application on that got offline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
well, if I may, when did you download it? Because the first couple of days, they had
June
the wrong 23rd. One up there.
June 23rd.
You might have the wrong one, okay, believe it or not. But Mark actually called Mark Pfeiffer. I spoke with him. They put the wrong one up there. I have the right one here, but they've since updated by the 25th, I believe it was. So if it's incorrect, I'll let you know.
Okay. All right. Well, page one is all what you're talking about, discretionary and all that other stuff. But on page two, eligibility requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Three says we have to demonstrate reductions or limited increases in salary and wages costs. The applicant shall document changes in salary and wage line items that result in a decrease. Mm-hmm. says here, the division expects the municipalities shall have in the last year or are currently engaged with its unions and non-union employees to effectuate savings through reduced salary costs, reduced staffing levels, modified work rules, modified controllable benefits costs, and other efforts to mitigate salary and wage increase or reduce costs. Acceptance or reliance on the status quo of the salary and wage costs will disqualify an applicant. Have we gotten back in touch with the bargaining unit?
Yes, the unions refuse to make any concessions. We've had multiple meetings over the past 6 to 8 months over that.
All right, what about those that aren't represented? Union and non-union employees?
There's three non-unionized employees. One has tenure, one has a contract.
What about the third?
The answer to your first question, or the first statement in there, is that there has been a demonstrated action. When vacancies are, full-time vacancies are made, they're being filled with part-time. It happened with another employee 2 weeks ago that resigned.
Okay.
As a result of that, the salary is lowered, the benefit expenditures on the borough side is lowered.
Because the employees are paying 1.5%.
Currently, not every employee is paying 1.5%.
Okay.
Currently, I'm paying 1.5% voluntarily, but no one else is.
All right. And another requirement is that there has to be an average of a $250 increase in the taxes over last year in property taxes. Let's see here. The municipality must demonstrate severe fiscal distress. This can be demonstrated by the presence of substantial structural or accumulated deficits, debt. And then it goes in again to talk about the $250 average increase. Let's see here. Number six starts out with the budget shows cost reductions from 2009. Other than the police, these items that we talked about right here, right?
No, we can demonstrate that expenditure levels are still at or below 2008 levels unless there's a statutory requirement for increases. So, yes, we can demonstrate that there has been cost reductions from prior years. Municipal department budgets are at or below what they actually spent in 2008. So if you budgeted 40 grand in 08 and spent 35, your 2009 budget was only 35. So we're still at or below 2008 expenditure levels unless it's an absolute necessity. And I believe there's only two departments, I think it was code enforcement and zoning, that needed to purchase some supplies that they didn't last year, and fire official. Other departments are primarily flat, which is at 2008 levels.
Well, I didn't see that. I thought quite a few of them had increases. But you're saying even though it's an increase over 2009, it's still less than 2008?
That's correct. That's correct. And they may have spent, make it easy, it's 2009, say they requested, you know, 40, as an example. And they're requesting, 40 again, they still spent less than that in 2008. So
what if there was an increase? They requested 40 in 2000, and now it's 200.
In 2000?
I mean, 2009.
Oh, okay. No, if they request, well, no, the absolute, but that's the whole budget process. Council gets to make those decisions, is the request warranted or not. Any changes made here tonight, while they won't officially be in effect when I go to Trenton tomorrow, I can say the governing body committed to A, B, and C at their meeting last evening. So when I'm down there, I can look at them in the face and be honest.
That's only if we get the aid.
Correct. Well, no, if you don't want to apply for the aid, we can end this conversation.
That's not what I said. No. I mean, if we commit to A, B, and C, then we would expect to get the aid. If we don't get the aid...
That's correct. You can change your mind again. That's correct.
I'm going to be a little sarcastic here, if I can. Just indulge me. Number six, the application shall include a high-level projection for the next 3 years. Sounds like a plan to me. Demonstrating a clear path to produce a reduced reliance on traditional aid.
This is one of the things that I said in my report the past couple weeks that really worries me, because based on this introduced budget and based on the kind of expenditures being made, it's going to be a hard case to make. I think it was to say maintenance of the status quo will not suffice. And
correct.
We cannot maintain the status quo and expect the state to give us money.
I think
we do not make reductions in service, if we do not make reductions in expenditures, the state will not give us this money.
I have a couple other questions for you.
Sure.
The $388,000 that we got from the DOT grant, where does that go?
It paid the bond off. It, per the ordinance that authorized, they shouldn't say paid it off, went towards the debt on that bond.
Okay, so the entire $388,000.
Yes. The way the ordinance was worded, it anticipated money from DOT in the ordinance. It said, you know, we anticipate as part of this bond receiving X dollars from the DOT. That money, when received, will be used. The ordinance itself dictated how it was spent.
Okay, so is our debt reduced by $388,000 then?
Correct, for next year. Not for
why is that for next year? We got the money this year.
The debt payments for this year were already established. We have to send it to the...
All right, the debt payments have been established, but we didn't have the cash, and now we do.
No. It's already... It's not... In this year's debt schedule that you see, it accounted for receiving that.
Because no, it didn't, because we didn't know we were getting it back.
That's, I knew we were getting it back. Everyone knew we were getting it back. We've been talking
about
this
for
years. All right,
so listen, we're talking about $388,000 here. You just said earlier that we were paying $850,000 on debt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you take out $350,000 out of $850,000, that reduces the debt by $500,000.
That's not correct.
I mean, down to $500,000.
Because the debt amortization schedule we had accounted for receiving this $390,000. As a result of receiving it, that $850,000 is what we actually have to expend from tax dollars.
So it's not... If we didn't receive it, it would have been over $1 million.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we only budgeted $850,000.
Because last year we knew we were getting the money.
Can I get that engraved somewhere from somebody, please?
Sure, I can get the info. I can get it from the CFO.
If you would.
Sure.
Where that $388,000
so actually, you know what? I put it in one of my weekly reports.
So all right. So wait a second here. That $388,000 is going towards paid debt next year.
No. It went to pay the debt that was the amortization schedule has already been established.
Okay. So, but wait a second. You said you got
the
money this year. The amortization schedule has been set for this year.
Correct.
And you said then that can't be used for this year. It would have to be used for next year.
It's my understanding based on my conversation with the CFO. That's correct.
So $388,000 next year out of our $1 million debt or whatever it's going to be next year
is
taken care of.
We're still hovering around $8 to $850 regardless. Because it's not going to be $850 less $300. That $8 to $850 takes into account us paying that off. I mean, if you go on the website, it has the debt schedule listed.
Okay, if you could get me that information from the CFO, please, that says that $388,000 is going to be used for next year's debt payment.
Jeannie, that was May 14th, my report you sent?
On May 14th, you said, although we have not received it yet, the $390,000 we will be receiving from the Department of Transportation has already been allocated. Specifically, the ordinance that authorized the borough to borrow money from the downtown streetscape projects require that any funds received from the DOT be used to directly offset the debt associated with the bond. As such, when we receive the money, it will be used to pay off a portion of this bond.
So we have the money, right?
The money's been received and the check's been cut. The ordinance dictated how we had to spend that money.
You just said a check was already cut.
Yeah.
To who?
To the lender. I have to go see who the lender was. I don't recall off the top of my head.
Then how can we be using it for next year? How can we be using that money for next year if a check's already been written this year?
Dave.
If you could get me that information, I'd appreciate it, please. Also, I'd like to review some of our professional service agreements also in an effort to save some money.
For this year or for next?
For this year.
How do we break contract?
You can't break contract unless both parties agree. I mean, you can hire...
Wait a second. A professional service agreement, we can terminate at any time.
But you hired him for a year. You appointed the resolution award.
Professional service agreement, we can terminate at any time. We can terminate somebody and get somebody else if it's a professional service agreement.
I have to check. I don't believe so, because you appointed them for a one-year term, though. And I don't recall any provision in the contracts that allows you to do so, nor do I recall any provision in the public contracts law. But we can look at whatever you like.
I would like to look at that, please.
Anything else, Dave?
No.
Does anyone else have any
I have lots, so I'll let anyone else go first.
Oh, yes. There is one other thing. The rec department. For the last 2 years, we've given them $199,000, and last year, or this year, we're giving them $135,000. Correct? My recommendation is that we go to 82. That's what they got prior to becoming a department.
That's what we're here for. If council wants to reduce it, will it decrease?
Well, when I requested reductions, I was told that we need to, it needs to go in front of the Recreation Committee and they need to approve it. And that's what happened when I did it a couple of weeks ago. And they came back and they did not approve it. And so everything I recommended was not approved. So
the Recreation Committee is advisory only. If I recall correctly, it was Councilman Higgins requested that the numbers go before the committee.
Yes, he did.
You can request the same thing now if you'd like, or you can just make the budget corrections.
But still, whatever. Even if they might come back again and say the same thing, that they disagree, and
if they disagree with your opinion, that doesn't change.
See, I wasn't here when the vote happened, and so, you know.
If you say, I want to reduce X, and they say, no, we don't recommend you, you can still reduce X. They're advisory only.
Well, council did not reduce X like I had requested.
Understood.
But we did reduce by a lower amount.
$10,000, I think we cut off.
It was like $9,997, I think it was, just under 10. The bottom line is, every budget is still live. Any reductions that are made will affect the services in that department. If you're telling me you
are
want
you
to reduce it...
Are you making a motion?
Do you want to reduce it to 82? We'll cut accordingly.
First of all, are we allowed to... I know we did it by resolution, but I don't know if, in fact, we're allowed to do what we did. Take that and use... If softball takes in more money than they use, we can fund soccer?
Yep. That's the way it was when I first started. Council reversed their opinion and then reversed it again. So we're back the way we
were. But I thought it had to be, once there was a department, there has to be a line item for each.
No.
There has to be a line item for each sport.
That's two separate issues, though. Your question is, how do you spend the money in this sport?
But what I'm saying is, if you have a line item for soccer and you're taking money in for soccer,
mm-hmm.
How do you spend that for softball?
It comes in as revenue to recreation and then allocated to softball. In 2008, when I got here, that's the way it was. Mid-year 2009, council said each fund or each event will be self-funding, and any revenues it brings in will be there for that particular program next year. On May 4th of this year, council reversed that decision again. So we're back to the way we were prior.
Okay, I make a motion that we reduce the recreation budget to 82.5.
So, wait, I have a question. Do you know what impact that's going to have to the programs today?
But we're bringing money in.
Well, no. You're reducing it from 137 to 82.
I could tell you now what impact will happen is there will be a reduction in programs. The pool will be closed for more hours because a lot of that money goes towards salary for the pool.
The pool's only open 6 hours a day.
Correct. The pool will probably be open 4 days a week.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, if I would have known that's what you were suggesting, I would have gotten a breakdown prior. But, I mean, the bottom line is any reductions that are made here today will impose. That's fine. But there's going to be a reduction in service. I don't know what that reduction is until I go back and look at their numbers. I mean, right now we're open 7 days a week, 6 hours a day to the public, plus it's open for other programs and events. That's clearly going to change.
I think we're actually at a point where the programs are starting to be beneficial and good and well-run for a change. So I think that's a terrible, suicidal thing to do.
Well-run for a change, the first time in 77 years that the pool didn't open up on time.
Well, stuff happens.
That's
Dave.
Because volunteers.
Right, or lack thereof.
That's right. Put it on the volunteers.
Okay, let's stay on topic, please. Okay, we have a motion.
Wait a second. Let me ask you this then. You're going down there tomorrow to apply for this. So once you apply for this, nothing can be changed.
Well, no, I'm not going tomorrow to apply. Tomorrow is a mandatory orientation meeting with the DCA for any municipality applying. The application is not due till next Friday. But I need to know what actions, if any, council is going to make so I can look Mark Pfeiffer in the face and tell him honestly these are the changes that have been made or not. Because we're not going to have another meeting prior to the application date.
Okay, just for clarification, the change that we make here tonight is a proposed change if we get the transitional aids, what I asked before, right?
No.
Well, it could be,
Yes and no. And the reason I say that, no, and I don't mean to be vague, the bottom line is until you tell me otherwise, any reductions made here tonight are going to go into effect. Aid or no aid. We could not get the aid.
I said about 6 minutes ago.
What you're asking is can they be reversed?
Yes. Council can always amend their decision as it relates to the budget to the day of adoption. As an example, we're reducing the capital improvement fund by 50%.
Right.
We apply for aid. We don't get it. You can keep it reduced. You can decide to raise it again. That until this amended budget is adopted in public, it's a live document. So the answer is for purposes of tomorrow, I've been told you're reducing the capital improvement fund by half. Should you change that? If we don't get aid, it's totally up to council. But for all intents and purposes, these are true, actual reductions being made, unless I'm told otherwise.
And you'd like them to stay so that we can reduce
correct.
The
tax. Correct.
But I have to agree with Councilman Scioni. The $82,000 came from where, David? To reduce it down to.
That's what the budget was 2 years ago.
I mean, look, if council wants to reduce it, we'll reduce it, and I'll make the appropriate cut. That's fine. The difference is we're 6.5 months into the year. A lot of that 82 has been spent. So other items are going to be cut. Unpopular items in that department are going to be cut. If that's what you want to do, I'll make it happen. That's why we're here tonight.
I withdraw my motion.
There was a second with the seconder?
There wasn't a second.
There wasn't?
No second.
Okay. Any other suggestions for transitional aid? Janine, you had...
Does anyone else have anything?
All right. Bear with me. Okay. First of all, on the spreadsheet for the reductions that were approved by the Borough Council.
Yes.
Three things I wanted confirmed. The Mayor and Council salary and wages, the amount of change came out to $4,000. When I calculate that is about... three members. So I'm just wondering if you could tell me how many council members are no longer taking. I know of myself, Councilman Boyle, and Councilman Scioni. $4,000 equates to about three. That was it. They were the only council members who not taking a salary.
I have the list downstairs. I believe it was. Was it three or was it four? I don't recall. It was four. Correct. Remember, if it went into effect, July 1st.
Well, it went into effect.
Council members get $2,000 a year.
Right.
If it goes into effect, half the year is gone. It's only $1,000 times four.
Well, it went into effect. It was only January through April that we actually got paid. I haven't gotten paid since April, so.
Shouldn't have been. It should have went into effect June 1st. Because
I haven't gotten paid since April, so.
But again, these are the actual reductions.
I just think the reduction should be higher if four people have not taken the salary.
When this was created, that was the amount that... to account for the reduction, based on the time. That
no, we never actually came up with a dollar amount. We just
we did based on your salaries. I mean, it's $2,000.
Okay, could you just confirm the number for me, please? Because I think if it is four council members, the number might be a little bit higher. Okay, so do you think the number might be a little bit higher?
The number might be $1,200 higher max.
Also, on sheet 12 of the introduced budget, it's just easier if I refer to the sheet.
Sure, 1 second. Let me just write this down.
When we had one of the public budget workshops, and I'm not sure if Natasha was here or not, but Natasha said under financial administration other expenses that it will be $7,100, not $15,180.
What page? I'm sorry?
Sheet 12.
All right. My notes from that meeting...
She removed $8,080, and that's not on this...
My notes from that meeting were council approved all of her reductions.
Right.
Whatever her reductions were...
Well, it's not listed on this thing.
Oh, because it wasn't a reduction. Overall, she reduced X dollars, but it actually the overall departmental increased. That was one of the ones we said before, increased.
Her operating expenses, she reduced by $8,080.
I don't want to go by memory. Let me pull it right here. Hold on.
I have all the paperwork, too.
Well, I just want to make sure I'm looking at the same thing. I'm not doubting. I just want to look at the same thing. The bottom line is what was sent to her was a memo from me. They agreed with the reductions that you made. Please apply them based on your memo is what I sent to her.
All right, this was 4-7, finance. Verify the CFO salary, reduction $400 for the meeting, minus $75 professional, adjust budget to reflect Natasha's updated memo. And that's what was sent to her. So, that's my notes from that meeting.
All right, I'll say, I'm going to get out my notes. But again, sheet 12, under other expenses, we introduced a budget of $15,180.
Mm-hmm.
Per Natasha, it will be $7,100.
I got the same thing.
Okay.
Okay, so that's not on here. You're not showing that reduction of $8,000.
This is what she sent me when I asked her for the reductions.
Okay, so you need to add that. My point is you're missing something.
That's fine. This is what was provided from the CFO.
Okay.
You guys asked.
Then also, again, on this sheet, only because it was something that we had talked about and approved or what have you, what happened with the tax assessor and his legal expenses increasing to $16,000? Remember, he was going to come in. I don't know if I wasn't here that meeting when he was going to...
He provided a memo that I sent out. I can read
it. Right, and the memo I got, though, it said that it appears that we will underspend the legal budget, but he wanted to keep it in. So,
correct. We've already expended a lot of money this year on tax appeals.
So we're going to keep it at $16,000?
We're going to get hit hard with legal fees on tax appeals this year.
Okay. All right, that was just that. Now, for the transitional aid, maybe if you can just take notes.
Sure.
When you fill out your application, I don't know how you do it. I know it's not a persuasive letter or whatever, but these are just some things that I think you need to mention or address, and I'm sure you probably have already said them, but I'm just going to get it out there on record, what I think are ways to make our case that we need this transitional aid, because I really think we do have a good case, even though I know you keep saying we can't go status quo the way we are, and we need to cut services, but I really think that we need to stress that we are already at bare-bone services. We are not a town that has, many towns have these things, health services, human services, a senior service, senior services, a senior center, historic preservation. We don't have any of those services. And I think that particular line item that says, cut services where possible, those are services that should be cut from those towns, but we don't have them.
Agreed. And to not to say, reiterate what you just said, but most of that's already in the draft.
Okay, so all right. So I just, again, I think we need to, in the transitional aid application, ready? Show, prove the cost savings of bringing the sewer billing in-house, as Mr. Higgins said. I think we need to highlight the current shared services that we already do have, because many towns do not share services, such as police, the purchasing co-op, any other shared services. I think we need to show that council did consider moving to the county library system, but it would cost more and close the current borough location to residents. Hence, it does not benefit our town to do so at this time. I think you also need to show that we've already made cuts to the library hours and the staff. That's my thing on the library. I know we're going to talk about garbage later, but I do think even now, you can say that we removed the pickup of bulk garbage collection, which is a savings there and a decrease in tonnage. And we also chose a new contract this year with the lowest bidder. In 2009, it was $344,400, and in 2010, it's $270,500.
Same contractor.
I think we need to show that we are selling land and the vehicles. I think we need to show that we renewed the cable franchise, which yields a savings in cable and internet. I think on sheet 19, that shows the total appropriated within caps for municipal purposes, it actually had a decrease in 2010 of $1.6 million. Like, we do have decreases.
Oh, that's because of the shared service agreement.
Right. Well, yeah, you got to,
But, and please don't take this the wrong way. Mm-hmm. The state doesn't care.
Well, they say, though, in the whole application eligibility that, to prove or to show, to prove things or maybe you have considered it, but it's not going to work out, and why?
I agree. All of that's already in my draft. Nearly everything you said is already in my draft.
But I don't know that, so I'm going to continue.
Understood, but I just wanted to clarify what you're saying, though. The state's going to look at, okay, our total purposes of caps 09 and 10, why is that? Oh, we dropped 1.6.
But your SSA for shared service for police went up. So when all said and done, they look at two numbers in Trenton. Three numbers, total budget and the breakdown between other expenses and salary. That's all they look at. That's all they want to see, everything you're saying. You know, we put in a very good application last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll put in a very good application this year. I'm just not too optimistic based on their requirements. I'm not saying I'm not going to fight hard for it.
Okay.
Believe me.
Well, I got the impression from your weekly reports that you weren't going to go tomorrow if we didn't give you anything tonight.
Well,
so
no,
I can't prepare.
No,
that's a very good point.
No. Well,
okay.
You want to know why? There's key words in there that council needs to decide. The state pretty much said, get rid of any of the wants, period.
Okay, I'm getting to that.
Period. And if there's any want in your application, don't waste their time.
Okay.
That's what they're saying, and that's what I'm reiterating to here. If there's any wants that you don't need in this budget, tell me now. I'll pull it out. I can look at Mark in the face and say, hey, my governing body made these changes yesterday. I'll be there in 24 hours.
All right. Again, with the transitional aid application, I think we need to show that in the last year, even this year, we have minimal capital improvements. You know, we have. And what is the decrease from 2009? I don't know, but
it's decrease in
capital improvements. Like, how much have we spent over? You know, I think we haven't done any work, so
exactly.
I think that should be another added benefit.
In their halting of.
I think you should mention that some council members have stopped taking a stipend. You know,
it's
that. I think we should mention that we are exploring the sustainable energy program and show from sheet 17 a lot of those utilities we have a decrease in 2010, except for the one with the new lights. You mentioned this, show that all part-time and seasonal help are at the 2008 pay rate.
Mm-hmm.
And the documentation that we contacted the union and they wouldn't budge.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whatever happened with the debt restructuring, and supposedly we need to do an ordinance, but I don't know what the status is on getting that ordinance moving. But
it's in there and listed as an option that we're exploring. The reality of it is myself, the CFO, the auditor, and bond council cannot come up with a viable plan
for the
3%
compliance.
Yeah, more than a 3% reduction.
Okay.
Now there are one-term band-aids. I mean, we can apply for an ordinance right now, restructure our debt, cancel our debt for the next 2 years, zero. But guess what? Come year three,
you're
pocketbook.
Yeah. No, that's not helping. Yeah.
That's not the
right
way to do it.
Okay. 2010 budget recommendations here. Ready? I think I don't know if it already happened, but I think we're going to have to postpone the code book this year. Mm-hmm. So, do you want me to make a motion after each one? How do you want to work this?
That would be fine. This way, what we can do is we can get any council member's request and the action or inaction by council right then and there. I'll keep track of it, and we'll amend accordingly.
I don't know what the expense is associated with the code book, but I think we need to postpone it till next year, so I'm making a motion to cut out that expense under the municipal clerk.
Second. Are we putting a motion?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Discussion? Is that statutorily required?
I don't want to misspeak. I hate to defer this to Christine, but as the clerk, she knows more about the codification laws than I do.
That's poorly required, I think. Sorry, correct me if I'm wrong.
To codify your
we're
code.
Way behind.
I know you're behind.
We're way behind. So every time you got.
But is it possible to put in any, like, say, any of the updates that you would put in, like if it's something new on the website?
They are on the website.
So.
And our code book is there now.
This year doesn't have any updates or any. This book, you have to take this, and then you have to print everything, all the new ordinances off the website to get a complete updated set of books.
Which is really impossible because the ordinances refer to sections in there that you would never be able to put together. The casual reader is not familiar. So every time you guys open that book in this meeting, I just pray that you're not looking at for something that's been updated.
Well, take the roll call.
What's the cost? You know?
I think I have it. Hold on.
$107,000, I think. Off the top of my head.
You met on the 7th? Does that sound right?
Yes.
Thank you.
When was the last time it was updated?
3 years?
2007.
Mm-hmm.
How many copies?
Well, we usually get a couple in-house, and then we have a CD that we make available to the public, and we are actually in the process of putting
what we have on our website now. So there's going to be a reduction in the amount of printed material that we have to actually order.
The actual codification that costs, not printing.
Printing's actually the cheap part.
Okay, hold on here. I don't have yours here.
Yeah, if I don't have it here. I thought I brought hers with me. It was approximately about $8,000.
Mr. Valentine.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, we have roll call, please.
Leva?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Aldo?
Yes.
Theo?
Yes.
Megan?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
All right, so now just to confirm, reduction of all codification costs for 2009. Okay.
Go ahead, Jeanine.
Okay. Let's see. I think under the general administration other expenses that we should cut the $6,000 for the unforeseen expenses. So I'm making a motion to do that. It was within your worksheet.
Mm-hmm. I'll second.
Discussion?
Where does that leave us if we have something comes up? What is that? What is the $6,000 for?
It was a $6,000 cushion to be used in any department if it needed to be in case of an emergency. That's pretty much our, quote, contingency. We don't have a true contingency fund.
Well, actually, on sheet 17 in the budget, you have $5,000 under contingent.
That's 17, you said?
Yep, sheet 17.
Hold on.
So you would have $5,000 still in there.
Hold on. 17?
Mm-hmm.
No. That's contingency within CAPS. That's something different than municipal department contingency. That directly affects the CAP. The budget cap. Total operations including contingency within caps. Right? Contingency, that's not 35-470, that account under FCOA, Flexible Charter of Accounts, it's not like it's an account with $5,000 just sitting there. That has to do solely with the budget cap calculation from the auditor and CFO.
But it wasn't in there in 2009, I don't think.
According to this, no.
Right here.
I'll pull it out. I have no problem pulling it out. We'll make do. Do less with more.
Stay back on my other motion for the $6,000 under the...
We'll get by. If there's a problem, we'll cut back. My department isn't above all of this.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion?
Oh. We're in discussion now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking if there's more.
Yeah.
Okay. No further discussion. Call the vote, please.
Leva?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Pavel?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Higgins?
Yes.
All right, then I'll make the motion to, I don't know, with the $5,000 in contingent, to remove that.
I'll second.
Discussion. Call the vote, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Hagen?
Yes.
Aldo?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Okay. I think this ties into what Councilman Higgins was saying before, and I said it before in other budget workshop meetings. I voted no when we did it, so I don't know now, but I think we should remove the downtown redevelopment for $10,000. We haven't had any expenses. We have no plans for redevelopment. I want to make a motion that we cut that $10,000.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Discussion? Call the vote, please.
Leva?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Aldo?
Yes.
Theo?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Okay, a shared service.
Look at me.
Is there anything we can do for website maintenance? Because the bid pays $3,600 in their budget. We pay over $6,000. The library, the schools have websites. Is there any way someone can maintain all these websites? And, we can all reap the benefit of sharing the service.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm actually working with a company on another website. They're actually local. They're local there in Hampton. And they're giving us a pretty good sign on a large website. I'm just wondering if you want me to actually have them look at ours, because I was looking at the prices on the website maintenance too, and I was just wondering why they were so high.
If I recall correctly, Victor, you might remember, did we sign this contract? Was it signed in January for calendar year 10? What? So we wouldn't be able to reduce it anyway for 2010. We've entered. Now, if council wants to make adjustments to now and the end of the year for whether it be bringing in-house, downscaling the website in some way, shape, or form. Now, keep in mind, this isn't just a website. They don't. We don't. The web hosting company also hosts all of the borough email accounts. It's not just a web page. So that's why it's a little higher. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't speak to, you know, to the BIDS website or, right, or, you know, who you're speaking with, but this is more than just, here's our website.
Well, theirs is email, too. They have separate.
Right, but I would say that we probably update the website between minutes, correspondence, email blasts, those types of things, way more than the BID does. The BID site, for the most part, is pretty static. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't find another company, a hosting company or something next year that does it cheaper. But there's a big maintenance component. The hosting is actually really inexpensive. You know, maintaining the domain name, the hosting costs, those things are relatively inexpensive. It's the actual maintenance agreements that we have. Like, say, we need to, you know, put a documentation up, create a page for financials, which we did that. We created financial pages. You're creating pages and you're taking down pages. You're maintaining pages. So.
Well,
I'm not saying that.
We can
yeah, for 2011, it. Christine and I already been talking about that when we signed the contract for 2010. Christine and I started talking about 2011.
I just think we're all spending a lot of money for, you know, but I don't know what they're worth.
I wouldn't say it's probably the cheapest, but it's probably not the most expensive either. And I have to say I'm very satisfied with the way Morris runs the website.
You also get what you pay for too. I mean, we can reduce what the website does, but you can't. Do as much as it.
Right. And I don't know if we want to go backwards.
Just on that shared service word, that two words that came up, I reached out to the mayor of the borough here, and I haven't heard back from him. You're going to be getting a bill from the County Shared Services Committee for $600.
I told them
we didn't agree to stay involved because of, you know, the finances.
I actually got the letter today, Friday. I haven't read the whole thing cover yet, but I spoke with a representative from Mansfield who's involved in it. He said, just so you know, I'll give you a heads up, they might be sending it to you. When I get it, I already told him, I said, look, you're not just throwing a bill on us. You know, governing body will have to make a decision.
Yeah, I tried to get that decision made a while ago, you know, but I haven't heard from Scott on which direction we're going to go. All right.
Okay, I'm almost done here. When I sent the letter, I, you know, as a council member, I really don't know a lot of the essential versus non-essential expenses, and that's what I was hoping you could help us with. Rather than me going line by line, I didn't think that was my job to go line by line for everything. So, but I've gone through that, and I really then, if that's the case, then I think, again, because I'm not quite sure, some of these things might be state mandated, they might be essential, I don't know, but the fire and safety code enforcer operating expenses, he had a major increase this year. Now, I mean, if it's, when he was here, of course, it all sounded valid to me, but if there's anything that can be cut, then I think there should be a cut, though. I really don't even know what to make a motion here on other than that. Like, I know he said $2,000 goes to the fire prevention materials for schools. Like, can this come out of the Alliance grant, maybe?
What you can do is the fire officials is a little unique. He has what's referred to as a penalty account. When he writes fines, statutorily those fines go into a certain account and can be expended towards that. You can direct him to spend the money out of his penalty account in lieu of tax dollars via his budget.
Are you suggesting that we fine more and increase fines to pay off a piece of equipment?
No.
What are you suggesting?
This is his printed material.
Over
the past 5 years, 10 years, whenever the fire official writes a fine,
right,
you know, $50, $100, whatever it might be, it goes into a penalty account. He can use that money in lieu of tax dollars.
Where is that money going now?
Right now, he's spending it accordingly.
Believe it or not, that's one of the defined money, correct. You know, the portion that goes into that account, statutorily it gets separated.
But I don't know how much money he has in that account.
I think about $4,500 that he has in there. And in fact, he and I spoke about it too. Because believe it or not, I actually don't have the legal authority to spend that money.
No, it's not only the fines, but it's the fees for the fire inspection.
Well, no, it's penalties. It's solely penalties.
Just penalties.
Correct.
For violations.
Correct. Solely, it's called a penalty account. Council can say, you know what, we'll reduce your departmental budget to what it was at 2009. Anything above and beyond that, you can spend out of the penalty account. If I recall correctly, what he spoke about, I think it was on April 14th, was, in essence, updating his reference material. He has outdated references, and he has laws that he has to enforce that doesn't have access to.
Just for clarification, are we talking about the previous fire code man or the current?
The current fire official.
The current.
Yeah. Now, the fire penalty account's been around forever.
No, that's I understand that, but who spoke at the April meeting?
It was Rick Moniz was here.
The official.
Yeah, the fire official.
That money was used in the past to buy that.
It bought the car. The fire penalties paid for the fire inspector code vehicle.
Portion of it.
No, the whole thing.
It paid for it all.
Paid for the whole thing, actually. I think it was 5 years, 4 years. I don't remember what it was, but it paid for the whole thing. So we own it now, and it was all paid through fines.
But lease purchase or something. Right?
Yeah, it ended just as I started, so I don't know the whole history of it. But council can, you know, I think he only requested $2,000 more, so you can reduce his budget by $2,000, and we can instruct him if he needs those materials, he can get it through the penalty account.
See, that's what concerns me. That's like motivation to get out that ticket book. I'm not saying that.
I need to buy a new car. I'll go write 1,000 tickets.
Yeah.
No,
he has $4,500 in the account anyway. What is he going to need? Is the possibility that he need over and above that for his expenses this year?
I mean, if there's another capital purchase that needs to be made above and beyond what he requested, he can use that.
Well,
we need to be very careful that we don't cut our nose off the spider.
Well, exactly. I don't know what he said. Maybe some of these reference materials are...
Essential is defined as health, safety, and welfare. Anything above beyond that is deemed non-essential, plain and simple, according to the state. Health, safety, and welfare.
It's just that his particular operating expenses did go up, you know, about
$5,600.
Correct,
because
it was never
budgeted
in 5 years. And he said departments were flat, and some of them were clearly not flat.
I said that before. I said with few exceptions, they were all at or below 2008 levels. He was one of the ones that was increased because in prior years, the person in that position was never given funds to make the purchases to update his reference library for the statutes he has to enforce.
What are you doing there?
I mean, what I would suggest...
I mean, I'm a person of compromise. I mean, I could cut it by $2,000. I mean, for the fire prevention materials, for the schools, you know.
Yeah.
No. If that's what you want to do, I mean, if council agrees as a whole, I'll say we'll reduce it by two, and I'll instruct him that he needs to take, you know, his 2010 budget will be what, 2009 amounts?
No, because there's no...
That's a $5,600 difference there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, tell me what you want his 10 budget to be.
4810 instead of 6810.
4810.
810. So we're taking out two.
Right.
Well,
I'm making a motion to reduce it by $2,000.
I'll second that. That's fire enforcement.
Fire official.
Official. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Okay, roll call, please.
Leva?
Yes.
Theo?
Yes.
Allison?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
All right, the DPW had an increase of over 30%. I mean, this is a difficult one because I know the streets
know
committee,
salt,
you know, and a lot of it's salt. So, again, I don't...
If I may?
I mean, I don't know, again, between the buildings and grounds and then the streets and roads, I'm not sure if there's anywhere they can cut. Again, I didn't want to go line by line, but I think maybe there's somewhere they can cut something.
I can just, if I may. I mean, the buildings are getting older. More and more maintenance is required. That just comes with the territory.
Same with the vehicles. I know the vehicles are real old.
You know, we're slowly improving some of the building. As you can tell, the AC wasn't working for a while. We made improvements last year. We're making improvements this year. That's fine. Salt is consistently the killer. I caution you, even though we created the rec trust account, the snow trust account, I caution you, don't go too low.
because that is what makes or breaks.
Can you recommend an amount?
Honestly, I'd recommend it stay flat. I'll be honest, you get a bad winter, like we had this winter, it's going to kill us.
We have in the bills list a reserve, right?
The $45,000.
Right.
Correct. That's the snow trust account. Now, we could blow through that in a couple storms. We probably spent $50,000 this year, just in the winter of 2010-11. Snow. That's the one department I... 9 to 10, rather, excuse me. I caution you on that one because weather's out of everyone's control, and that can make or break us.
So we already have $45,000 there?
That's correct. I make whatever reductions you choose. What I would say is, home, let me get it in front of me here. They came in on the 7th, correct? Does everyone remember? 7th or 14th? 14th. Streets and roads, okay. The big increase, if you look, was line item 31, road materials and supplies. That's your salt and your road material. That's your biggest expenditure on the operating side within that department. You know, as you can see, we budgeted $50,000 in 08, 2009 we budgeted $46,000, but spent $77,000 in snow, in salt and road materials. Now, when I say road materials, well, I'm not just referring to salt and ice control. I'm referring to asphalt, things of that nature.
Cold
as patch. Gasoline increases, so does coal patch, so does asphalt, things of that nature. I mean, that's the only line item that truly increased in that department.
Well, does anyone else think...
I'd be cautious on that because of the pothole issues. You look at our issues reports, and you've tons and tons, and the streets are getting worse and worse, and, you know...
Okay, I'm not going to make any motion.
Well, don't back off that quick. I mean, I would be cautious on that just because of that.
I tend to agree. There are certain things that we desperately need, but again, I wasn't sure if there was anything non-essential in their operating expenses we could cut. But I don't know if there is, and so I'm not going to go back and forth on rock and salt because we need it.
Yeah. I think we should leave it alone.
Okay. Let me see. I've mentioned this before, I'm going to mention it again. I think we should reduce legal expenses by $6,000.
Where?
Under the, because the budget includes, like, potential litigation fees in addition to the retainer.
Just remember, we are in litigation, we've had expenditures in 2010, and I don't know if Mr. Kress is here now, if we have to go into litigation for liquidated damages, we're going to need to front that money. Ultimately, we'll get attorney's fees as part of the settlement,
right.
But we still need to fund the money. Mm. I'm just cautioning you. I'm only aware of the
I'll make the motion to reduce the legal fees by $6,000, and we'll take the roll call as it comes.
How much is it in that current fund now?
So far?
It is.
We budgeted 105 in 09.
Yeah, but it was modified by transfers to 80,000. We spent about $69,000, and right now we're budgeting for $75,000.
So it's not
which is about $25,000 more than the retainer.
Do we know how much we spent to date? I'd have to pull it. I mean, aside from his retainer cost, I'd say we probably spent about.
I'll tell you.
You have pulled the year-to-date stuff?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'd say probably between 5 and 6,000 in above and beyond. But keep in mind, I mean, that also...
That doesn't include, yeah.
That doesn't include the escrow either, so make sure you pull that out. I just don't have the year-to-date.
I don't have that.
No, I'd say we spent about $6,000 in various litigation this year.
And we have how much budgeted for this year?
75 total, 50 of which is retainer.
Okay.
Legal so far, we've spent about $36,000, but we have not, I don't know, that doesn't...
Correct. No, I mean, you're talking about, we spent about 30 in retainers. No, that's not right. 50? Yeah, we got about 5 to 6 in litigation off the top of my head. I would have pulled the actual litigation numbers if I would have known, but... like I said, I mean, can we reduce it? Absolutely. I just hope that probably the municipalities think we have deep pockets.
I made the motion. He seconded.
Was there a second?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
The biggest mouth. There any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Allison?
No.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the DPW garage, I'd say yes, but I have to say no.
Okay, Janine.
Okay, I've got two more. I saved the best for last. I hate to say it, but it was never really actually a motion or anything like that, but I think we should remove the $100,000 for the forensic audit this year. I'm making a motion.
You already did.
No, we didn't.
No, they didn't actually remove it from the budget.
If you recall, the motion at the time was for interviews. No one ever made a motion or authorized me to adjust the budget in any way. So, right, as the budget stands now, it's still in.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second? I'll second it. Any discussion?
I just think, given the amount of the tax increase this year, it's not a good time for this type of a burden, especially when we have to prove for this transitional aid, that we're making cuts and everything.
Okay, any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
Higgins?
No.
Boyle?
No.
Valentine?
Yes.
Fiona?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes.
And the last one, but we can save it for later when we talk about it. I'm going to recommend two things when we go over the garbage that we, again, because you can already show that we cut out the bulk. That we remove the leaf and vegetative service, which would also decrease the tonnage, and maybe we can join the township program. And then also, I'm not exactly sure how it works, but you mentioned it, and the auditor mentioned it, where we could remove that amount out of the tax levy cap or whatever's involved in that. I think perhaps this year that's what we should do as compared to. But we can talk about that more when we go into garbage. And I was wondering if it's too late maybe to make the privatization question, can we put that on the ballot this year, or is it too late to form a ballot?
The privatization of
garbage.
What is it, August?
August.
And share the information that you gave us most recently with, what your house is assessed at approximately, what it equates to in the taxes
this
that you
pay.
But so anyway, we can talk about that when we go to garbage. That's all I have for now.
Any other discussion on the transitional aid? Okay, so according to my calculations, it looks like we cut approximately 137,000 out.
173.5.
There you go. That's right. I missed the other 37.5.
Mm-hmm. 4.6 cents.
Okay.
Once Natasha actually implements these, I'll give you guys an updated spreadsheet with the reductions to date.
Can I, if I may, can I just go over them one more time just to make sure I have them all? 2010 capital improvement fund reduced by 50%. Codification cost in clerk, approximately $8,000, but I'll verify that number. $6,000 from administration OE. $5,000 contingency, minus. $10,000 downtown redevelopment. $2,000 fire official OE. $6,000 legal. $100,000 audit.
And the AK from the financial administration, remember Natasha?
Yeah, I wrote that on. Yeah, I just wrote to verify that too. I didn't.
And verify the council salary.
Mm-hmm. That's there too.
Okay, very good, Jenny. Good job. Okay, let's move on. Do you have anything else under that?
No, I thank council for giving me, for lack of another phrase, ammunition to go to Trenton with to fight our case tomorrow.
Okay, discussion on our refuse collection options.
Well, if we're going to put this on a ballot and for November, fine by me, then we kind of just whole processes here. I wouldn't want to get in the middle of having maybe another municipality saying we can do this in January, put it on the ballot, and our voters, you know, say yay or nay.
Well, I think
the question on the ballot has to be discussed, how it's going to be presented to the voters.
The way it has to be presented, I would think, is going to have to be privatization or as it, you know, in other words, one question, do we privatize garbage collection?
Right. That's what I was thinking.
If it's voted down, that means everything stays as is. Right.
Stays the same, but we could still pursue shared. I personally am for shared services if it benefits the borough.
If I may.
Looking at those numbers for privatization, I know me personally, it's cheaper the way it is.
Once the referendum passes or fails, whatever it is, that's what you're bound by. You can't, if the vote comes back, yes, we want privatization.
You can't go back,
no, I want shared services.
No, absolutely, right.
I mean, if
how do you put that on the ballot? As a binding or non-binding? And what's the criteria?
I think this is a non-binding.
Yeah, it can be done as a non-binding. That's an excellent point, actually. That could be done. So in essence, if it says yes, you can privatize, council doesn't have to.
Right.
Right.
It's non-binding.
The will of the people, that's the thing, though. That's the whole point of putting it on the ballot.
I agree. I mean, not knowing what's going to happen next year with the governor's budget caps, binding may hold more weight next year. And what I mean to say is, say it goes to November and the voters say, no, we want to keep it as it is. That means you have to raise it in your budget. Now, we can prove to Trenton, hey, you know, the residents of this community have said this. You can't penalize us if we have to increase taxes to pay for it. So there's a trade-off. Well, and what I mean by that is non-binding, you could do what you choose in essence. Binding will hold more weight with next year's cap issues when they come out.
I understand that, but as part of the application process, it talked about, you know, what's more cost-effective.
Correct. Well, what you need to remember, though, is what Trenton's referring to when they say that, what's more cost-effective to the taxpayers as far as their property taxes are concerned. Mm-hmm. That's what they're referring to, meaning raise $500,000 in property taxes or don't raise $500,000 in property. And this is what I meant when I said before, Trenton doesn't care. When I say that, I mean Trenton doesn't care what services you're giving up. They're looking at your overall tax bill. If you can reduce the tax bill and you reduce the services, that's what Trenton cares about. I hate to be so blunt, but that's what they care about.
Well, then
I'm sorry. In a section they make reference to in the garbage, you need to justify whether or not it's more cost-effective to stay as it is, you know, where
see,
we are.
See, when I look at the numbers, I think it is more cost-effective.
It's going to vary.
It
comes really down to the way
it's
I look
not
at
gonna,
it.
Yeah, it's not going to be a tremendous savings to taxpayers.
No, it's
going to be a savings on your tax.
See, that's the thing. It's never
bill.
Been.
When you file.
But that's why I'm recommending this year we cut the vegetative waste and lease and take it out of the tax levy cap, as the auditor said.
Not for this year. But what I'm saying is, as far as the garbage goes, it's never been pitched one way or the other as a saving, per se, for the individual person. Bottom line is, the municipality would no longer have to raise, or they would have to raise if you kept it as is, the $500,000 or whatever it's going to cost. So really, what it equates to, if you privatize, the burden falls on the individual homeowner. if you don't privatize and you leave it as is, the burden is on the municipality, which equates to 12 cents, which is a lot off your budget. So really, it's never been pitched as, well, you're going to save tons of money by privatization, or you're going to save tons of money by, you know, shared services.
I know, but then there's so many other things, the whole half of, you know, my garbage is being picked up on Monday. You know, there's so many other little things involved with privatizing.
In fairness to that, a lot of the research that I did and Councilman Boyle has done, you know, on towns that have privatization, you have one carrier, maybe two. So there's not 50 carriers running around the neighborhood at any given week. Plus, the one advantage of privatization is that you find out that if I'm a single parent and I have no need for two 32-gallon containers in a week, I only need one, my rate is cheaper than the person who has a need for two or three or four.
That's why I think all this information should be on the ballot question.
Sure. In that vein, if we do not privatize, doesn't that, as residents, give us more of a bargaining collective? Because just take cable television. You know, it's privatized. So that kind of gives the cable companies, every time the wind blows and they want to raise our rates, they can. Now we're no longer part of the town and stabilized.
Right, and like a group rate kind of thing.
It's a little bit different only because there's more sanitation companies out there competing against each other than there are cable companies. So basically, like, we had five or six or seven estimates from various waste companies. Some were really inexpensive, some were more expensive, some were a lot more expensive. So you have to wonder what level of service are you going to get. But again, you have the advantage in the sense of an a la carte menu, where if you have 15, 20 kids in your house, you might need more garbage collection than the person that has one person in their house.
The big problem I see with privatization is you're putting the money in one pocket and taking it out of the other.
Right.
And I keep hearing you're taking away.
And actually, all of the vendors, they don't provide vegetative waste collection either.
No, they
correct.
Don't.
No.
And according to, I wasn't here that meeting, but you mentioned at that meeting that most towns do not collect the vegetative waste. That's why
every town that I've worked with so far, the grass clippings go into your regular garbage, and your leaves go out in the street.
Candy, I'll get to you in a minute.
Might have to.
Council, anything else?
That was my discussion.
Pat?
On?
The garbage. Mm-hmm. Privatization, putting it on the ballot.
I'm all for it, voter's input. I've no problem with that at all. You know, I'll still do my diligence to have these other municipalities be interested and see what those numbers are. We haven't got any numbers from them.
I'm going to make a motion that we put the garbage privatization on the ballot.
As a binding or non-binding referendum?
I think it should be binding, to be personal. Because then it has weight. Basically, the people say whatever. It takes council out of the equation. Basically, will of the people.
Like I said before, my opinion is a binding would hold more weight in 2011. If there's additional caps put on the state, this body can go to Trenton and say, we need to increase our budget because the voters of the community have voted to maintain this level of service.
What would non-binding be?
Basically, non-binding means the vote is cast, and let's say everybody in the town wants privatization, and council says, well, I don't want to privatize.
I'm making the motion for binding.
Christine just made an important point. She's not sure if statutorily we can make it binding or non-binding. Correct?
I have to check.
Okay. Well, then how about I just make the motion that we can begin working on drafting a ballot question.
Sure.
Second.
Okay. One of the problems is if we wait until November, again, to make a decision, just like the pool, we're putting off another 6 months. Actually,
but then it would
we're not
be
going to do anything now anyway, Terry.
Yeah. We're just.
Okay. So the bottom line is this would go into effect roughly a year from now.
To Terry's point, though, I mean, it would be, we have a six-month out clause, so whatever anticipated savings we would get in 2011
would be half.
Yeah.
About a year.
Now, as far as, we had a second.
Right?
Yes.
This information we have here, we need to
include in the ballot question.
Well, you advertise or... We contact names and companies for the residents.
We can get it on the website. We can get it out there. The ballot question can't have all of this.
No,
the ballot question is a question.
But just for information, resident advisory information.
To remove it from your tax bill.
If you want, I can have once the question is drafted and once it's approved by council and the attorneys, what I can do is I can put this on the website. I can put this in Borough Hall. I mean, anyone who wants this now, because I'm getting it anyway, it's a public document.
Yeah. You know, I think it's already on the website. A lot of this information. On the website?
Well, you know what? It was part of my weekly report, so it would be.
Some of the things.
One of the agendas.
We can make it more prevalent on the website, but in the garbage presentation, or the refuse presentation, we talked about the anticipated savings.
Oh, yeah, not all
of the 12 cents taken off the budget. But we didn't have exact numbers. I had estimates about what the privatization cost would
be. Well, I think the most recent that Rich gave us was very valuable. So I guess what, roll call for that motion?
Yeah, any further discussion? Candy, you had a question.
I just think that over 60% of the properties in the borough are rental. What makes that landlord accountable to pay for their garbage? Maybe they'll say,
that would be then become a code enforcement issue that the code enforcement and the Board of Health would have to address.
Right. I mean, that could happen. If I may, that could happen now. I mean, if a landlord is storing garbage or the tenants aren't throwing garbage out, it's a code enforcement issue or a county health department issue now.
Well, I reached out to Hackettstown because they have a big renter population as well, and I spoke directly to their clerk, and I asked the same question: do you have an issue with, you know, abandoned garbage or, you know, people throwing it in dumpsters, those types of things? And she says no, they really don't have any issues at all, and whatever issues that do come up, it's a minor code enforcement issue that gets handled right away. So it's not the.
And you'd like to think we all want to live in a clean community.
Well, you'd like.
Well, that's a real ideal world.
I think in the long run, Candy, to answer your question, I think there may be a learning curve, and once the code enforcement gets involved and once the Board of Health gets involved and sees, and communities are seeing, or residential areas are seeing that they are enforcing the new code, then by all means, people will fall in line. We also had in our issues and concerns log, we did have one residence that was on there about garbage outside the house and smelling, and the code enforcement person did address it.
Okay, now you're telling me this is going to save me, what did you say, 12 cents? Is that
$12.8? Based on the budget, it was about
12 cents.
All right, so what's it going to save me as taxpayer for years to get my own garbage?
You might not.
Depends upon what your house is assessed at.
If I may, I can explain it. It's not a question of savings. What Councilwoman Gleave is explaining, what it is, say out of your property taxes, as an example, and this will be on the website very shortly. If your house is assessed at $150,000, $177.40 of your property tax bill goes towards collection. Now, say you're two people in that house. It's $177.40. Now, if you have a $200,000 house, the same two people, you're spending $236 in property taxes for the same service.
A year.
It's based on your property assessment. Mm-hmm. It's not the total cost divided by property. It's based on your property. So, to answer your question, we'd have to see what the assessment for your property is.
If I decide that it's going to cost me $80 a month.
The numbers we receive vary anywhere from...
I know people who live in township, and I'm telling you that's what they
say. Well, Santa Claus is in the township, correct?
Yes.
$26.50
a month.
I spoke with them directly. 67-gallon container provided by them, and if the resident chooses, they can put an additional 33-gallon container out.
An additional fee?
No.
No.
$26.50 a month.
For two?
No, for one. For two cans... Totally 99 gallons a week is $26.50.
So the company here comes twice a week?
Yeah. I mean, if you need twice a week pickup, you get twice a week. You want once a week with one 30-gallon can?
It's equivalent to $117 or whatever it was.
No, I'm not disputing that. That's correct, because it's based on property assessment.
So now my sewer
your, but your
up,
property taxes would reduce that.
The my one water's going up, and my taxes are going up, and I own three houses in this town. How can I say that? I sit on a rec board. I sit on a bid board. You know something? I'm ashamed of this town. The other day, I was in another town, and you know what they said? Washington Borough is a joke. They're a joke. They're the sewer of New Jersey.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. I pay $20,000 a year in taxes here. And I've got people making fun of where I live, where my father was raised. And you sit there and say, you know, it's nothing. I will just take this from you.
That's why we're putting it to the voters and letting the voters make a decision. We're putting it in their hands, and that's rightly so, where it should be.
You know what,
hopefully the voters will make the right decision.
Let me tell you something, that you know what it should be. Take the taxes away and have everybody pay taxes. Renter, owner, and everybody should
renters,
pay a percentage.
The renters actually do pay the taxes
why
through their rent.
Why? They don't pay as much as I do, for God's sake.
Well, they pay it through their rent.
No, they can't.
Ma'am, you have a question?
$20 a month, for God's sake.
Ma'am, you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to know, with a shared service.
Name and address.
I know it's...
Can I have your name and address, please?
Edna Detlers, 27 Fisher Avenue.
Sorry to throw you there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I went back to Westfield. And shared services, I know it's difficult to get the people on board, but what is the difference in cost right now in our taxes is 12 cents worth of our taxes.
Excuse me. One person speaking, please.
That stays in the taxes? Is that true?
It would, yes.
Okay, so what would that cost in relation to privatizing it to my pocketbook?
It would be outside the cap.
It would be outside the cap.
Right.
Miss,
this isn't a true definition of shared services. We're not offering anything to the other towns, okay? So it's not like... Well, touche. Those are the numbers we're trying to get from the borough of Hampton and the town of Belvedere. What is your cost to us to maintain the same service we're having now? That's what we've been trying to get from them since May.
That's without the bulk pickup and without the vegetation, right?
Correct. Yes, correct. Correct. Well, this is political suicide, but I'll say yes.
It's really up to the other municipalities. I mean, we can only ask because we need to.
Rich.
And you don't, if it goes to private, you don't have to be part of it, am I right?
No.
No, you don't. You can take it to the landfill yourself.
Rich.
My question.
Okay.
My question.
All right. Any other questions from the public about this topic? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question regarding the referendum. How do the absentee landlords become notified that this referendum is going to happen?
That would be through the...
Well, remember, it's not landlords. It's, well, for it to be on the ballot, it's residents have the ability to vote.
So
you can own property in this town and not live here and not be notified that.
Right.
If it passes in November, as part of, I would make a recommendation when we send out the annual registration so the landlords will be notified.
Right.
But
right.
You can own property in here and have no idea that this is on the ballot because you don't live here.
Right, right. Yeah, so doesn't that kind of speak to Sandy's point, is that if I'm a renter and we privatize garbage, the landlord is not going to reduce my rent, but now I'm also responsible for paying my garbage.
No. The landlord picks up the garbage as part of your rent.
They don't have to.
Your rent would probably go up.
They don't have to. There's nothing legally that says your landlord has to pick up it.
Okay, we have a...
Well, it was already seconded. I made a motion.
Yep. Okay. Any further discussion by council? Can we have a roll call, please?
Leva?
Yes.
Coyle?
Yes.
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 Calvo?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Move on to Borough Pool.
Oh wait, I'm not done with that.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to make a motion to cut the vegetative leaf waste out of the 2010 budget.
Rich, do you know what that saves?
You can't cut it out of 2010 because remember you got to give a 6-month average.
Oh.
So it would, in essence, your motion would be to enact the six-month outcost for that.
Right.
And then you could spend, not you personally, but the borough will spend the next 6 months advising residents that effective January 1st, no more vegetation. Let me just check that cost. I think I have it here.
I want to say it was like 16 grand, but it could be more than that.
Yeah,
we
plus the tonnage,
it would reduce. Well, correct. The service costs less than the tonnage for vegetation.
So, but all total, it would be something.
Correct.
What's going to happen if you do that come January and it's not, people have, it still stays in our budget, what we have now, things stay as what they are, what's going to happen with people with their stuff?
If I may, while they're related, they're separate. Because the governing body can reduce that service now, regardless of whether they go to the ballot in November.
Well, that's not what I mean. What are the people going to do with their grass clippings and their leaves and stuff when they're not going to be picked up? Should we say what we have?
We can look in the next 6 months, we can look into an agreement to have residents take it to Washington Township. They have a composting facility and a dump site. Or we can also look at taking it to Warren County Landfill, or you can compost it in your own backyard.
If I may, $28,000 is the cost for vegetative collection, excluding tipping fees.
For the year.
For the year, excluding tipping fees. Excluding tipping
fees. And there's one other option that we can have it like we did years ago. The town can pick it up.
Right. But we have to have an authorized receiver in order to...
Well, so do the residents. You're just not going to go up to the Washington Township.
Well,
we've got to get permission
have
for that.
We'd
so
have
it's the same.
Right.
Well, we could have an agreement with the township and have the DPW, our own DPW, pick it up.
Exactly what I'm saying. Instead of each individual resident,
right.
That's what I would push
town,
for.
I thought you were saying township.
Oh.
You know, that's, I'm sorry.
Now, I can say that I haven't heard back from them after repeated attempts. I have asked the township to give me a cost on what they would charge non-township residents to use their facility. They haven't gotten back to me. I've asked two or three times.
Are there any other contiguous municipalities that we can contact? I would think they have more setups.
If council, if I may, since there is a motion on the floor, I guess depending on what the outcome of that motion is.
Well, should I remove the motion and we look further into this by next meeting? Is that
That's
nothing.
I mean, once the motion is made, you're the only one that can.
I'll look at a farm.
Withdraw.
Farm will take that chunk.
So what do
you, you can withdraw your motion if you choose.
We won't forget it, but we're not going to decide anything tonight.
Why don't you table the motion for
the
next meeting?
I'll table the motion for the next meeting.
Okay. All right. And seconder agree to that?
You seconded, right, Pat? Right.
And that was just for the vegetative.
That was just for the vegetative.
Okay, got it.
Okay, we will table that discussion in the next meeting. And who's going to be checking into that?
Me.
Me.
Okay. Checking in with the borough and checking in with local farmers?
No, don't do that. I'll do that.
Okay.
You got the farmer side?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rick Gardner?
Milkman. So.
Okay. One of the problems, make sure they know we have craft bags, because that was one of the other problems we had with the leaf pickup. We were using the craft bags, and the farmer we had would not take the craft bags. That's why we put it in the garbage. Okay. You remove the any other discussion on this? Okay, let's go on to the borough pool.
As everyone is well aware, on a week and a half ago, the recreation director stepped down, leaving a whole slew of things unbeknownst to me in my lap. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for my staff, because no matter how you slice it, if someone does something, whether I know about it or not, it's my responsibility. It comes with the job. I am pleased to say that we were only 10 days behind the scheduled opening date. While I may not be happy with everyone, it was clearly not happy with me. We hit some roadblocks. We adapted the best we can. And I didn't know if council had any questions on the correspondence that I sent out to the residents.
No, I don't.
No, I already talked with him.
That's, I mean, it's out there. We probably put about 50 of them in Borough Hall, and there's about 20 left, so people are taking them as they come in.
Well, for what it's worth, I've been to the pool the last 2 days, and everybody's been packed, crowded. I have to say that Andrew and Paul have done a masterful job getting it well situated. Everybody seemed very happy. There was a couple of minor things, but, you know, Rich was notified and is taking care of them. But other than that, considering what they had to work under, they did a fantastic job getting it ready. And the water was crystal clear. I mean, it was just really, really well done in such a short span of time. So kudos to those two.
Also to the DPW, because they cleaned out a lot of the debris in the bottom of the pool, dead squirrels and all kinds of other ugly things.
They also painted it.
Yeah, they painted the pool.
And they actually found and fixed the leak.
Yep.
Yes, they, Dave, for your information, they found the leak. It was one of
there when they were doing it.
Okay. So that is taken care of. We should only see the bill on this month's bill list and no more.
Well, no, this month. I don't know if the top of my head it is
$546 for the
but was that the May to June bill? I don't remember. But either way, yeah. Effective whatever date that was corrected.
Okay. Council, have any other discussion on this? Okay, Mrs. Quelly, you had a comment.
Do I need to re-announce who I am?
Go ahead.
I'm Jules Quelly of 4 Cleveland Street in Washington.
Can you speak up?
Sure. I'm Jules Quelly of 4 Cleveland Street in Washington. Just to give you a brief timeline of what happened in my life for the past few weeks, I was at the May 4th meeting, and I did not sign my name to the roster of volunteers because I clearly do not have time to volunteer. Famous last words. In not knowing whether the pool was open or not, I somehow got on the phone with Rich, because I called the pool, and the pool line was busy, and busy, and busy, and it was really hot, and my kids were animals. So I said, well, I'll call Miss Blanchard to see if the pool is open, and somehow, again, I got to Rich. So in that discussion, through a private discussion with Beth Uporski, I agreed that if there were any way that I could help, I'd be happy to, and usually that it would involve brainstorming, because I love the pool. And for those of you who don't know, I'm a chef and I own a personal chef service. So I'm familiar with management. I'm also familiar with things like the snack bar. And I have some, I took some issues with the webpage for the pool. And as a result, then I got to be friends with Victor Cioni because, you know, I have to put my money where my mouth is. And after that conversation with how I could help with the rec side of the website, I put a phone call into the rec commission, committee, whatever you want to call it, to explain that as a citizen I'm volunteering my time and I have yet to receive an answer from anyone. Today I got a call from Victor saying that there were a couple of things that they could use help with at the snack bar. One of the things was that they didn't have any hot dog buns since Friday, and because the weather was so hot and there was a really big attendance at the pool, we're losing money in sales. Could I introduce myself at the snack bar or at the pool and see if there was a way that I could help? Could I even take them hot dog buns? Which I did. But, so here we are today. I met with Paul, and then although Andrew was on vacation, I also contacted Andrew and had a conversation with him, and I will see him tomorrow. There are a couple of issues. So as a result of the time I spent at the pool today, at this point I'm calling myself a citizen liaison because my intention is not to be a squeaky wheel, but to use my power for good, not evil. Mm-hmm. One of the things that, the biggest deal that came to my attention, well, one is that they're not using gloves at the snack bar, and that I'm a ServSafe instructor and proctor. That is a health code violation, and of course they're going to get gloves, no big deal.
And
but
hats.
Hats.
Must have hats.
Hats.
One of the huge deals is that the telephone is not working at the pool. Since the day I called Rich, the phone is busy continuously. I stood in the pool, dialed it, no phones rang, it was busy. So, and both Paul and Andrew We're aware that it's not working. But sometimes I get the idea that, and again, I'm just making this up based on my experience, sometimes I get the idea that there's not really a clear channel, a clear chain of command. When the phone's not working, does someone know whose responsibility it is to call and to whom do they call? So that, I think, might be a hindrance in getting things done. And then one of the other items that just came about was that they're working on more staffing, especially for swim lessons. One doesn't need to be a lifeguard in order to give swim lessons, but because there's a cap on hours, if you have a lifeguard and that lifeguard is scheduled for 40 hours per week, then there's 15 hours a week that that lifeguard might need to use for swim lessons if they don't have enough swim instructors, and that cuts into their staffing. So right now, they're aware of that and they're working on it. So Andrew requested that I kindly just mention that they're looking for swim instructors. It will be a couple hours each morning, about 9 to 12. It does pay, it's probably a minimum wage job, and they're probably looking for 6 to 8 more instructors. And
can I answer that? Maybe you could put an ad on the website for swim instructors?
If they give me the information, I can.
And then it's well aware that spending and requisitioning is a very mindful process, especially because of the economy. And through any town, there's a lot of red tape. But I'm wondering about the level of empowerment. We have two supervisors right now, Paul and Andrew. And right now, Andrew's on vacation. And Andrew's just been given authority to charge things, let's just say, at one stop. And I'm not sure if there's a monetary cap on that. But again, we're talking about that clear chain of command, because somewhere there was the impression that nobody could go out to ShopRite and get hot dog buns because it had to go through the town. Well, that was quickly cleared up. But the fact of the matter is, if Andrew has the ability to charge at one stop, but Andrew's on vacation, and then there's a $2 plastic part that needs to be gotten from one stop in order to open the pool, because you know you might need just $2 cog for the pump house, and that's the difference between opening the pool and not. Paul doesn't have that ability to get that part. And if we have a manager who's doing his best to meet all of his other priorities and is up to his eyeballs in whatever, then again, we have all this red tape bogging us down.
If I may, Andrew has the authority to spend on any of the approved purchase orders for recreation. There's probably about a dozen or so, everything from food stores to one stop to pool supply places. Last week, I said to both of them, whatever you guys need, you call me. I don't care if they call me. They call me on the weekends, they call me in the evening. Paul has my number, Andrew has my number. If any one of them needs anything, it's a phone call away. And I understand their hesitation. They're not paid to know the subtleties of the purchasing laws. That's my job. Phone call, Rich, I need to go to One Stop. Is it fine? I have a list of all of the Parks and Recreation purchase orders and the balances on each of those purchase orders that they are authorized to spend. So to dismiss the statement of red tape, there is no red tape. They do have the authority to spend. You know as well as I do that some people don't want to because they would rather be told go buy this versus take, and you know, and that's fine.
Well,
a lot's happened in 10 days.
Right, but in a perfect world for me as a manager, I would have liked to see it come to Jesus meeting when Gary decided he was no longer going to be the director, between you and the supervisor of the pool saying, here's where we're at, this is the clear chain of command, even an organizational chart.
Actually, that happened.
I wasn't under that impression.
I spoke with the supervisors of the pool directly. I was there every day. We worked all, you know, I made sure they were there on the weekend opening the pool.
And then we talk about the red tape, just for lack of a better term.
Understood.
And, you know, Paul knows he can go out and get it, but does he actually, you know, are they required to go through you for every...
They're required, well, ultimately I'm the acting rec director now. So
does that mean that you're going to go out and get the hot dog bun?
If I need to.
But that's not empowering our supervisors.
No, you asked me if I would. The answer is yes, if I need to. The reality of it is they have the authority to oversee the pool and the pool operations. And if that requires materials or supplies, it's their responsibility to get it in accordance with the purchasing laws. My job is to make sure the purchase orders that have been created are compliant with that.
All right, so let's just say, because I want to just be clear on what
I'm... Let me just ask one question. As far as the food goes, so we have an account with...
ShopRite, Sam's Club, A&P.
And Andrew's taking care of it.
Andrew and Paul.
The bottom line is, 10 days ago, Andrew didn't have to worry about this because it was handled by the former director.
Right, and he made a judgment based on what he thought would be sold.
This is going to be a learning curve for him and I.
Okay, but I'm not even talking. I'm beyond the learning curve at this point. So my question is, if on one hand we say that... the supervisors have been there for several years. They know the way this world works. We require them to be proactive and to take action. Are we giving them every level of empowerment to do that? Because on one hand, we say to them, if you need something, you just have to go get it. But yet, the guy just can't go out and get it because Paul's not authorized to get the $2 cog.
Right. Well, first of all, if there was an issue of that nature, this is the first I'm hearing of. Because everything I've been told by the supervisor, they've been ordering, they've been getting what they need.
Okay.
All right. No one called me over the weekend with any questions.
Okay.
So I would have answered them on the phone for him. I speak with Andrew quite often.
Okay, but if I'm volunteering my time as a citizen liaison and I'm trying to get answers
I give you my phone number. You call me. You have a question, I'll answer it for you. I don't require volunteer staff or part-time seasonal staff to know all the subtle nuances of the purchasing laws. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and it's confusing when you deal with it every day, let alone for 3 months.
So when Andrew needs supplies for the concession stand, what does he do?
All he has to do is tell me what he needs, and I make sure there's sufficient amounts, on the purchase order, and then he can go buy whatever he needs.
Okay.
But that's just concession stand. If he needs a washer.
And it kind of works the same way for everything.
We have what's referred to as a blanket purchase order.
Right. So,
you know, you're authorized to spend up to $500 at Washington One Stop. Now, maybe in, 50, 1 cent items or a dollar item here, a $50 item there. I put a cap on what everyone can spend so I can monitor the expenditures. Now, all of those bills, when they come in, are reviewed and approved prior to payment.
Right.
By me.
Right.
Or as it relates to REC. Any other department heads do the same thing for theirs. There is a simple process in order. The part that makes it non-simple, if you will, is the purchasing laws.
Mm-hmm.
There's one purchasing agent here in town. It's me. It's my responsibility to make sure all the purchases are done in accordance with the law. I don't expect people who work 3 months a year for us at the pool to know this. The purchasing laws, that is. That's why I said, give me a list of everything you need, and I'll make sure you have valid legal purchase orders to make those purchases.
Okay, so right now the biggest need that you can help with is getting the phone fixed because as a mama...
I didn't know it was broke.
Because as a mama, that's a huge, safety issue.
May I ask what number you were calling?
689-7065.
I didn't know there was an issue with the number. See, I usually call them on their cell phone, so I never call to the pool directly.
And that shouldn't be.
They're never sitting near your phone.
Well, it doesn't ring. 7065.
We'll make sure the phone gets fixed.
7065?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and one of the things that I also mentioned to Paul today, that I don't know if it's possible, but to establish, if at all possible, to establish a closing policy and then to post it with the note that it's subject to change, but there are so many rumors that go around about, the pool closed early this day and, the pool closed early that day. I just want to make the pool a happier place for... I want to give people less ammunition to bring the pool down.
And if you recall, when you and I spoke, I think it was last week when I spoke for the first time, I appreciate the fact that you're willing to volunteer and disseminate this information, whether it be from the Recreation Advisory Committee to the public, whether it be from the public to the website, whether it be from my office to the website. We want to get that information out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to consider you, based on our conversation, the first point of contact for anything relating to disseminating information via our website.
Okay.
Any information you need relating to recreation, you call me and I will make sure you get it.
And I have...
Now,
I
you said you called
nothing.
Someone before. Who'd you call before?
I called the number on the website and I got the REC committee. If people keep beating me up whether I call them committee or commission.
Well,
I called that number and I got an answering machine, and I left my name. I think I left my website.
You called today?
I called a week ago.
All right. And I didn't know that when you and I spoke either. I mean, if someone's not returning your calls, that's a separate issue I'll deal with.
Yeah, and I haven't received any of the schedules to check up on or to
If you can just, when you get back, if you want to just verify, let me know which number you called. This way I can track down who you spoke.
It's the one on the website.
The main one on the website for recreation? Okay. Because, you know, staff is supposed to return residents' phone calls, and if they're not, I need to know why.
Thank you.
That's it? Thank you very much. Candy.
My name is Candy D. Phillips. I live at 116 Broad Street. I also sit on the rec board, or whatever it might be called. I haven't figured it out yet either. I say this slap in the face to everybody who sits on that committee, that they, at the pool, call everybody else for help, but not one of them call any of us who volunteer our time twice a month, all year long, for help.
I'm sorry, who are you referring to when you say they?
She was saying that they needed help. I didn't receive a call. I sit on that.
Well, the way the ordinance is created for the rec committee is their mandate is to volunteer. I mean, everyone knew, it was no secret that this town was having a problem with the pool.
No one called me.
No one called us either.
No one called me.
I'm not blaming, what you need to understand is I've been dealing with recreation for 11 days, 12 days.
I believe that.
Right?
So I just want to make clear that I...
Recreation is new to me.
And was underhanded, he said,
yeah. I'm not here to make excuses.
No,
I'm not here to make excuses
I'm just
at all.
Saying,
the Recreation Committee, by ordinance, is volunteers appointed by the governing body to assist in all operations recreation. At the meeting, I believe it was May 4th, when council decided to keep everything open, 100 hands were raised, 4 signatures were on a piece of paper. I don't know who to reach out to if no one leaves their name and number. Now, I'm not making excuses.
I sit on it. I've been on it for 8 years.
But if you sit on it, you understand what we're dealing with.
Now, we haven't had a meeting in 2 months.
Okay. Again, 10 days. I'm not going to make excuses for what happened prior to me directly overseeing the recreation department. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm not here to make excuses, and I'm not going to hash on the bad history associated with recreation. Either we want to fix this recreation department or we don't. Plain and simple.
I don't know why I sit there, because obviously nobody cares about what I have to say or anybody else that sits there what they have to say.
All right. I can't mandate or to tell you what to do, whether or not you choose or not to sit on the rec advisory board. That's your choice.
But now you're asking for volunteers, but you don't listen to the ones who have volunteers.
Maybe the council liaison needs to play a more active role.
He's not here this evening.
I know, but what I'm just saying that
the
working with you now that you're in this.
The reality of it is there's application forms in Borough Hall. There's hard copies you can print out on the website. There's digital copies you can fill out and submit on the website if you want to volunteer. Appointed volunteers, like the Recreation Committee, are supposed to be involved in all of the recreation programs. Everything. Every one of them has an assignment.
Right.
Right. Who's in charge of the pool? Who's the liaison to the pool?
When was the committee notified of the rec director resigning?
A couple days after he resigned.
I read it in the newspaper.
Well, that's not when you were notified.
I read it in the newspaper.
Yeah, I guarantee if you check your email, you were notified right after that.
How do you know my computer works?
The reality of it is the bottom line is
we're not going to get in a match here.
No, I'm just saying. You're asking for volunteers for everything, but you don't use the ones you have.
The only comment I would make is, as a rec committee volunteer, I would hope, and don't take this the wrong way, but I would hope that the rec committee volunteers would be proactive instead of reactive. If you knew that the pool was supposed to open on the 19th, hopefully you would be on the phone with Gary or whoever and say, hey, you know what, the pool's not open, what do we need to do to help you out? Now, if you did that, great, and I hope that's what every member on that rec committee did. But that's what they should be doing, and that's what their responsibility is.
The problem is, there was lack of communication between the rec, the director, and the manager.
Well, now the rec director is the manager, and hopefully that will get straightened out.
As he said, it's 10 days, and give him an opportunity to get it straightened out, and I'm sure he will.
Candy, do you know who the liaison on the rec committee for the pool is?
No, pool.
The rec committee member.
I have no idea.
All right, because according to the list that I got from Rick, it's him. And he's the chair of the rec committee.
No, it's not. It's not.
That's the list you gave me.
No, all right. It's not. Thank you very much. Candy, are you finished?
Yes.
Do you have any more? Okay, thank you. Pat.
Thank you, Deputy. Rick, Rich, now that you're acting director, now you have to go to those rec committee meetings. Now, they haven't had one in 2 months, so we need to have a meeting there to get this thing going forward.
One step at a time. I cannot do it all at once. I'm one person, and quite honestly, the transitional aid application is going to take precedent over everything else. Because if we don't get transitional aid, recreation's irrelevant.
Well, I don't think right now it's so relevant. I mean,
I have 2 weeks to get
the application. You can't put the two together.
No.
You have to do more with less. So as the acting director of the rec committee, you have to go to those meetings.
No, I'll have to respectfully disagree.
Oh, come on.
I'll have to respectfully disagree.
Then you can't, if I may. You can't tell the people out there,
okay.
You know, you have to be there to make it work.
Right.
We're relying on you to make it work.
I can make it work without going to any meeting, first of all. Second of all, okay, I've been doing this 10 days. I have 5 job titles.
I know.
I need to prioritize what's more important. Quite honestly, transitional aid is more important than recreation right now.
Can we take a 5-minute break right now?
Yes, we can. Motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Is meeting's back in order and all the council people are present?
No.
Except for Mr. McDonald. Okay. We have one more comment that we wanted to make on the pool. Mr. Feldman.
Sir, Department 19 Prosper Way. Mr. Mayor, thank you. I just want to correct the record. The memo that was sent to Mr. Phelan on July 3rd. Mr. Feldman is not the liaison to the swimming program. There is no liaison to the swimming program.
Okay, thank you for that comment. Okay, we are finished with old business. Let's go to new business, approval of Chris Considine, did I say that correct? As the Washington Borough Firefighter. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Go ahead.
Not that I'm not in favor of it. I just wanted to verify with the manager, if he could. When he asks that the firefighter be added to the town's insurance policy, what insurance policy is that? Like, if it's a liability insurance, I understand from you that that's not based on the number of people. So that wouldn't...
It's just general liability insurance.
So, right. So it doesn't affect the tax... As far as
it's not health insurance or anything.
It's not health, right, okay.
General liability.
So, because I was wondering if, I wasn't sure if they're under workers' comp insurance, like, I don't know what insurance they're covered under. And if so, my point is, does anyone ever go back and make sure we're still not paying for inactive members?
Every year it's reviewed upon renewal.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain?
Aye.
Okay, so moved. Number two, BOA PB escrow account fees discussion.
If I may, the former Planning Board of Adjustment attorney, when he stepped down last year, recommended that council consider amending their ordinance that would allow the Board of Adjustment, in addition to the Planning Board, to charge applicants escrow fees instead of charging taxpayers for the attorney's review time. It would come through, or for any professional for that matter, attorney, engineer, etc., review time. The applicant would pay that in lieu of the tax dollars. According to the memos before you, both the Planning Board and Board of Adjustment reviewed them and are in agreement with the recommendation from the Planning Board of Adjustment attorney. The question is, does council want to consider amending the ordinance accordingly?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, and your motion is to amend the ordinance?
Correct. Amend Chapter 94 ordinance.
And have that ready for the next meeting?
Correct.
In its current form?
Correct.
Okay.
You agree to that, Dave?
Yes.
Any discussion?
Who would speak to this?
Rich.
This includes someone wants to put on a deck. I mean, everything that goes with...
This is their proposal for the amended fees, as well as...
I just want to make this... Yeah. Not only the contractor or a big major subdivision...
Well, escrow is at the discretion of the respective board. The board can say, okay, well, this is, we're just requesting a deck. We don't need escrow for this, but we're requesting a site plan approval.
Yeah.
We do. So that's at the discretion of the respective board's chairs. This just now enables the Board of Adjustment to charge escrow fees should the need arise.
So where do we reduce our cost then?
If there is extensive professional work, whether it be Board of Adjustment engineer, Board of Adjustment attorney, Board of Adjustment planner, if you will, planning board planner, et cetera. Planning board's a bad example because they can charge escrow now. But in essence, if someone needs doing something out of the ordinary that requires detailed engineering review on the Board of Adjustment side, the Board of Adjustment can say, okay, applicant, you need to put $500 in an escrow account to pay for the engineer's time to review it.
So these fees here would be that. If I have a line lot adjustment for $200, then that would cover the charge of the attorney review and the engineer review?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, again, these are their recommendations. The final numbers to be set by council. So if you agree with that as it is, it can move forward. If you want to amend the numbers, you can amend the numbers.
So why would we want to amend the numbers?
If you feel they're too low, too high,
okay.
It's your discretion.
So how does everybody feel?
Well, this was based on the feedback that we got
right.
from the board.
I mean, this was from the attorney for the board.
I just wanted to make sure.
This was his recommendation.
So I made the motion. Was there a second?
Yes.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Let's do a roll call on this, please.
Piotti?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Alvo?
Yes.
Coy?
Yes.
Okay, let's pay our bills.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Questions, discussion on the bills?
Deputy Mayor, I have a real quick question. Page 21. Washington Borough Board of Education, school tax debt services. I don't ever recall them the debt services verbiage.
What they do is, it's still one payment to them. But historically, they've always requested it be broken down into regular versus debt, so they can keep track of it all their payments were like this.
And then page 23, my last question, under general supplies, a voltage tester.
Yes.
That's the DPW guys?
No, it's for use within buildings and grounds. This way, there was an issue with one of the ballasts and breakers. Rather than call an electrician, and we were able to test it ourselves.
All right.
Or at least now we can continue to that question.
Mr. Higgins, do you have questions? Janine, do you have questions? Pat, were you finished?
Yeah, thank you.
Janine? Okay. John? Victor?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to pay our bills. Any no further discussion? Roll call, please.
Valentine?
Yes.
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 Malcolm?
Yes.
Riva?
Epstein.
Higgins?
Yes, on everything except that has to do with the fire department, I'd say.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay, council remarks. Mr. Boyle.
Thank you, Deputy. It reads the abandoned property report that got compiled is due in June.
It was done in June.
Or is it due in June? December, June, is that our 6 months?
It was done. It was compiled. Notices were sent out. Very, very poor response. I think the concept of the ordinance is good. I think how it's practically being implemented based on the terms is very difficult to enforce, very costly, and with little or no return. Problem is, mortgage companies do not care.
No.
That's the problem. Meanwhile, it costs me $600 in postage to send out these letters once or twice. The residents, little response, and for the ones that did respond, most of them didn't care.
But in our ordinance, then we can go to the next step, which is attorneys.
Correct. But we just saved $6,000 from attorneys, so we can't go to litigation.
All right. The last thing I want to bring up was, at our last meeting, there was a question asked that we didn't really get the answer to because of the differences of opinions about debate, not debate. Okay. But as councilman, I am still interested in knowing the answer to the reviewing, researching, or inquiring information on who and who is not current with their taxes. Why would the office of the borough manager be interested in that? Why would you take that extra step to look at who's current with their taxes?
Actually, if you're referring to what I think you are, that's not why I checked the record to see what their taxes were.
Well, then why did you check the records?
If I may?
Yeah.
I understand what you're doing. If you have an issue with me on a personnel issue, I believe we should discuss that in executive session.
I don't think it's a personnel issue. It was a question that was asked in public, and it wasn't answered. That's really all it is.
Actually, it wasn't asked. The question that was asked was, what did I do? That was the question I was asked and answered.
What did you do?
Yes.
Okay, didn't answer that.
The question was, I looked at the resident's property record.
Okay. And so you're saying I have to go in executive session to get the answer why?
I think I know where you're going, and I would have to defer to that. Yes. The bottom line is that every record on every piece of property in this town is public. Whether someone sits at my desk and looks at them or someone comes in the tax office and looks at them. I can't question the motives of anyone who comes in. I want to look at the tax records for his property. I can't ask them why. Same reason.
Well, I understand what you're saying for the...
People come into my office all the time with questions or concerns and give me their names, and I go to see where they live in town in case I need them. Plain and simple.
Right. But under these circumstances, okay, that's true. But these were different circumstances.
I beg to differ, but that's fine. We can agree to disagree.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Well, that one I'm not going to let alone. So we won't do executive tonight on my account, but I'm not going to let that one go.
We have to go in there anyway.
We have executive tonight?
Yes.
Can we add personnel on that?
I have no problem discussing myself.
All right. Thank you. That's all I have.
Mr. Higgins.
A couple things, real quick. There's a sign posted downstairs in a couple places about zoning applications that they're not being taken right now. What happens when somebody does something that they're not supposed to do without an application during this, while the zoning applications aren't being taken?
What happens when someone does...
Let's say somebody comes in for a zoning application, but the zoning officer, there's no applications being taken. So they proceed with what they want to do.
Well, then they can get fined after the fact.
Okay. Do we have any idea when that's going to open?
I just got the list the other day from the state, and I interview on Thursday.
Okay. That's fine. Now, the 16th, you said, is when the transitional aid applications are due.
Correct.
Okay. We're not going to meet any time before that.
No.
All right. How are we going to discuss the... Once they either approve or disapprove, we can still amend the budget. Reduce.
If they approve it, right. The only thing you can do is make further reductions.
Okay. Can you get me the information on what we need to do for professional service agreements?
Council just tells me right now whose contract they want to either renegotiate or resolicit proposals. That's a council appointment. I actually have nothing to do with that.
Okay. Here's the question that I'm asking.
Tell me which conditions you want, and we can solicit our...
I don't know. You said earlier that you didn't know if we could do that midstream. Can we do that there, Counselor?
I'll have to check and tell me which ones you want me to look at.
No, I don't know if the way you worded their contract and the way you awarded them, you awarded them a one-year contract.
Okay. Can we find out, though, if there's anything that we can do that open it up for renegotiation? All right.
You can't for renegotiation.
Why not?
Because an award's already been made. The only thing you can do is go out and solicit that same profession and appoint the other person. But the way the contracts are worded right now is you awarded these firms, engineering, attorney, etc., a one-year contract. Unless both parties voluntarily agree to end it, they're on the hook till December 31st.
So unless both parties agree to end it, okay.
Correct.
Thank you. The well pump. I've seen in your manager's report or your letter there that there's going to be some bids. Has anybody come to look at that yet?
I made two phone calls. No one's called me back yet.
Okay.
the bid. Not being on the agenda, and I liked your comment there that it's going to be discussed tonight. Not being on the agenda is really not an issue that I have with that. It was the way it was explained how it was handled. But that's something different there, too. And I'd like to close with volunteerism. This council, as a whole, has done nothing but not the volunteers of this town. In your own letter here, and I gotta say, five pages, it was a very well-crafted letter. But in your own words, the bottom line is that we have made many positive strides towards improving the recreation department, and I do not want to focus on past actual or perceived negative actions as this is counterproductive. You can't blame volunteers, and this goes for everybody. We can't blame the volunteers of this town for a lot of things. But it seems easy that volunteers are picked out. I don't know where this town would be without volunteers. I personally thank everybody right now who volunteers in some capacity, whether it be EMTs, I know, whether it be the fire department, whether it be the people at the park. Instead of being adversarial, we need to recognize, like we did with Mary Finnegan and Dave Hackney, the job that our professionals are doing. Thank you. Our volunteers are doing.
Janine.
Well, I agree with your sentiments about volunteers. However, I disagree that this council as a whole has not volunteers, because I have never knocked a volunteer, so I do take offense at that statement. I would just like to, I don't know, again, if it's a motion, but I make copies for council, but only because we're going over budget. I would like to create a similar budget summary for the borough when the budget is finally adopted to be mailed with the final bill and posted on the website, similar to this document here that Princeton Township and Princeton Borough does. I would like, so I'm volunteering to create this, and my motion is that you agree with it. So we can table it till next meeting so you can read this document, and I'll make a resolution maybe next meeting.
Yeah, do you want to have a discussion on it for the next meeting?
Yes.
We'll put that on the agenda.
Put that on the agenda.
Okay.
To create a budget summary similar to Princeton Township.
Okay. Anything else, Janine?
That's all I have.
Okay. John?
Yeah, you know, I just want to address the volunteer thing, too. I've actually volunteered on some of the events I've done with the town. I've worked with a lot of the town volunteers.
Thank you.
They've been very appreciated. I really don't know anybody in this room or on this council that I have ever heard knock any volunteers, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
Anything else, John?
No. That's it.
Victor?
Yeah, same thing with the volunteerism. I mean, I personally have donated at least 100-plus hours of volunteer time to the park and other capacities, whether it's committees or non-government related thing, whether it's the car show. So that's just a, you know, ridiculous statement, and I'll spare the campaign speech for everybody in the audience.
Thank you for your sarcasm, Councilman Seale.
You're quite welcome.
Okay, I have four things. The bid, the last two First Fridays they had were fantastic. If you folks were not down there, please, the next First Friday you have, we have, it would be August.
It's a Friday.
August the 6th. Plan on going downtown. Great car show. They have a great band. You missed a great blues band this last Friday. Wonderful. It's a great time. You talk to people, talk to the owners of the vehicles. You really get to know the people in the town. And you go across the street and patronize the restaurants and patronize the convenience store. Washington Celebrates America Committee. The residents and non-residents were very impressed by the day's events. The evening fireworks were outstanding, and I'd like to pass along all of the positive remarks to that committee. Kudos, job well done.
Amen.
There are potholes on South Prospect Street. Do you want me to call Debbie on that? Or?
No, I can write it.
Okay. It's actually a utility cut, but it's a couple of years old. It's the rear exit from the mini mall. Now, I believe the utility is responsible for 2 years.
I have to check. I don't know what was done. Rear exit, I only know potholes from a curb.
Yep, South Prospect. I believe it was a sewer connection. So it would be the contractor that did it. And North Lincoln and Washington Avenue is my pet peeve. The storm drains. We contacted the state, I believe, on that. We haven't heard anything back from them.
They're saying it's ours. We're saying it's theirs. It's undetermined right now because it's literally, I think they have a, I think it was a 30-foot or 35-foot right-of-way.
Right.
And it depends on where you stand. It could be ours or theirs. But what happened is
it's collapsed.
It actually collapsed. So it's unknown whose it is. It's on state road, but the question is it their right-of-way or is it ours?
The problem is there are 18 T-lines involved. And
oh, it's a nightmare on that road.
Can we contact our state representatives and have them put some pressure on the DOT?
Well, Debbie Hurd is our DOT representative. She's very, very good with getting back to me. What they were going to do is we were going to meet them out there. I shouldn't say we were. The engineer and DPW met them out there. They brought a sewer camera on their own. They're reviewing the results. We're just waiting to get back to them. They actually went near with a sewer camera and measured how far along the line. So that's what we're hearing first. They're not fighting us. I mean, they're working well with us to get it fixed. It's just a question of whose it is, ours or theirs. So before we take it to the next level, I hope so.
Yeah.
As soon as I know.
We've been told by past engineers that it's their responsibility. Okay. Recap.
Issue a 15% reduction of rebate for all current and future pool memberships, along with a letter advising of the same. For Councilman McGleba, I will advise DPW the revised date for the block party. We'll reach out to the resident on Roman Ave regarding the street parking, in addition to the other prongs being represented by council here. Ask the fire chief to attend the 7:20 borough council meeting. Implement the 2010 budget reductions. Work with the clerk and the attorney on the language of the referendum in November regarding garbage collection. Next available meeting, introduce the ordinance amending planning board board of adjustment fees relating to escrow. Next meeting, we'll schedule a Councilwoman Grieva's discussion on the budget summary page, the sample she sent out.
The telephone at the pool?
I just didn't listen to the
report. Posting the pool hours?
Well, the pool hours are on the website.
Okay.
So you mean physically
posting?
Sure.
Pool? Yes, ma'am.
I don't know who we thank, but if you're
fine,
you got the air conditioning.
Not yet.
Actually, it's not working as well as it was on Thursday. Thursday, you'd be an icicle by now.
Oh, I don't
want to
be
an icicle.
Sort of
part
of going
on,
don't.
But we're on our way.
Well, anyway, I appreciate your time.
Thank you for the comment. Yes, ma'am.
I just have one question. When the telephone pole went down across 31 on June 19th, I have incurred some expenses because of that, and I contacted the police to find out who was responsible for the pole coming down. I was able to track down the driver of the truck. He was not cited for that because JCP&L had been told prior to this that the pole was compromised and that the wires were hanging down and they chose not to come out and fix it. As a result, his truck hit the wires and brought the pole down. I was without power for 24 hours. Everyone else was up by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I was without power for 24 hours. I use a medical device at night in order to sleep, which I wasn't able to use. I found out that it was because when the power went out, it blew out my main circuit breaker, so I had to pay for an electrician to come in. What I need to know is, when was this reported to JCP&L, because I have written them and they have refused to pay any bills that I have because of this.
We wouldn't get a record of any reports going to JCP&L.
Who would have reported it?
Anyone can make any report on a telephone pole to JCP&L.
Because the police told the gentleman driving the truck that they were not going to cite him because it wasn't his fault, because JCP&L had been notified.
Have you talked to the chief, Chief McDonald?
I didn't get that.
I'm wondering is if this was a known problem that maybe the police were aware of. And I can't speak for the police, but even whether they reported it, they knew it was reported, or they heard it was reported, is not the issue. The issue is if JCP&L knew about it. Finding when JCP&L knew about it is not public information. They're a private company. They don't have to tell us that.
Okay.
I mean, I'd be more than happy, if you want to give me your name and number, I can give you mine. I know the area manager for JCP&L. He might be able to point you in the right direction.
Okay.
If you'd like. You know, before we go into executive session, I'll give you my card.
Also check with the Board of Public Utilities. They may be able to offer some advice.
Okay.
You need a motion to go into public executive session for personnel and contract negotiations. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?